Father, we are grateful this evening hour that we could come together. The family of God has come to hear and, Lord, to listen to the mystery, Lord, that you have hid before the foundation of the world. Father, angels would want to know about this great sage, this great prophet, so Father, wanted to know about these things, but we are so privileged, Father, that you sent a prophet, Lord, to bring us, O God, those things that will give faith for rapture to the bride. And tonight you see that, Lord, the believers gathering together, Lord, even across the world, and as they would stream in as well, we ask for your blessings upon each heart. And Father, you know the areas that we need wisdom. You know the areas that need, Lord, in our lives that we need to be strengthened in. And we thank you, O God, for dear Pastor Tony, Lord, that the gift that you have given to him. And Father, how the bride could be edified. Lord, to see the things, O God, that's been hid in your word. Lord, it really takes a gift, O God. It takes a God-called man to bring out these revelations, O Father. We ask if you to bless him, Lord, strengthen him, we pray. We thank you for his family and, Lord, his church that could, Lord, release him, Lord, to, so that he could serve you on the field. We pray that you bless them. Even as we continue, Father, we ask for your grace upon our lives. And we believe, O God, that all our needs have been met according to your will now. We ask this in the precious name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And everybody say there. Amen. Amen. God bless you, brothers and sisters. You may take your seats this evening. Amen. We want to welcome each one of you tonight, and it's good to have you back again for our last meeting on the seventh seal and the seven thunders unfolding in this age. And we trust that you have been blessed for the two nights. I know the weather has been quite inclement, and that roads are quite bad, and we do understand that you could not make it. And we trust that tonight that you would indeed be inspired. Amen. I know many people say, but you know, the pastor is before we could write something down, he's already gone. But that's what the ministry is all about. You know, you have to be attentive, and you have to go back to that which you have heard and search it out and prove these things, because those are the things that you'd find that causes this bride to gather, which is the message of the hour. And without this great revelation that the whole world knows nothing about, we would find we cannot progress. Amen. So I trust the Lord bless you even as we prepare our heart for his precious word. Let's all rise to our feet one more time. Into thy presence, Lord, we come. Every head bowed and every eye closed.
Into thy presence we come. Lord, by your words we have
my purpose, the mighty spirit of the apostle Tony Good.
Oh, by thy grace and thy grace.
What is written in your word, in the presence of yourself, is fullness of joy. And Lord, we know that joy comes from the stimulation of the revelation. Joy, Lord, comes from the revelation that flows from the Father above. And you say, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Father, that's what strengthens us. That's what encourages us. That's what keeps us going from day to day, is the expectation, Lord, of what has been revealed to us. That one day will become a reality, Father, will come into manifestation, Father. And in your very presence, Lord, is fullness of joy. And it says on your right hand, Lord, there are pleasures forevermore. And I believe, Father, that those seven stars on your right hand also had fivefold ministries that follow them. And I believe, O God, that this is what is happening today, Lord. There are pleasures, Father, to be handed out, to be given out, Lord. And we come here now, Father, in your great presence to enjoy these blessings. As we stand in our post of duty, each one of us, some come Lord, with expectation, with different things on their hearts and their minds, you are more than able to break the bread in the portions that is allotted. Anoint your servant, anoint the hearers, Lord. Most of all, take us up in the spirit of revelation, the spirit of wisdom. Let our eyes of understanding be enlightened. We might know your great hope of your calling, your great purpose behind this great seventh seal, your great echoing of those great thunders, Lord. We come here humbly to sit at your feet and to learn of thee now, Father. We are thankful for the portion you have allotted us. We know there are other ministers that are allotted different portions. But whatever portion we have been allotted, Lord, we ask that you help us to be faithful in it, be brave with it, Lord, and most of all, Father, present it in a way, Lord, that it will bring edification to the least, to the greatest, is my prayer now, Father. Bless the trustees, bless the officers, bless each and every brother, sister who has made these meetings and made an effort, Lord. Bless them richly, is my prayer. Bless the ministry that stands here, Father, a lighthouse here. Continue to grow strong and deep roots, Lord. Keep him strong in your right hand, Father, is our prayer. And as we look now from this very pulpit, from this very altar, the place that you said is the closest to you, Father, we stand here and may you, O God, in that great, Lord, anointing that you send from heaven, may it anoint us in such a way, Father, that they see none but Christ Jesus, is our prayer. Commit it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. God bless you tonight. Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. And I want to make some comments. I hadn't made any comments the last couple of days. The weather was so bad. We were just trying to get into the material and to try to get you home as early as possible. I know it didn't seem that way, but our intention is not to keep you really long. But you can tell in the subject, because most of this area is not spoken of. It is we allude to it, we quote it, but we do not really get into it, and it takes a lot of foundation. And what we have done the last 2 days, you can tell, is just foundation. It's just how to think about it, and then today we'll try to get into it. All right. So the last great day of the feast. If you have your Bibles, I invite you to the book. Before I make any comments, I'd like to invite you to the book of Revelation, chapter 10 and 1 to 7. And we are talking about the seventh seal and the seven thunders. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven. The first thing I'd like you to notice is that the text there from the translators are wrong. This mighty angel should be a capital A on angels. The prophet said anytime they are heavenly angels, you use a capital A. Lowercase angels, men, prophets, messengers, you use a lowercase A. So right then and there, you can see the translators messed up. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud. A rainbow was upon his head, his face as it would the sun, his feet as pillars of fire. He had in his hand a little book open. He set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot on the earth. Cried with a loud voice as when a lion roareth. And notice it's a comparison. The loud voice is as a lion, as when a lion roareth. All right? So you're looking here at his contrast, you're looking at metaphors. And when he had cried with a loud voice, seven thunder uttered their voices. And when the seven thunder had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, capital S, not lowercase. You notice the first six seals are lowercase. Seal up those things with the seven thunder utter, and write them not. And the angels which I saw stand, the angel which I saw, lowercase again, it's wrong, stand upon the sea and upon the earth, lifted up his head to heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created the heaven and the things therein are, and the earth and the things therein are, and the sea and the things therein, that there should be time no longer. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished. Today we want to look at those two parts of the scripture. When he begins to sound, that's one part. And then the mystery of God to be finished. Amen. And but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, all the way down. But in the days of the voice finished, as he had declared unto his servants, the prophet. Amen. So may the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word this morning.
And I just want to make some comments. I want to thank the local church for putting the meetings together. I'm on my way to eastern part of Africa, Rwanda, Uganda, Kenya, and Malawi. And I'm trying to see if I can squeeze in a trip to Roderick Islands, if we can, with Brother Ashok. And so on my way here, Brother Louis just had some work to do in Pretoria. And did we stay where we were? Normally we don't say where we're going because, you know, news reaches there before we ever get there, you know. So, a work had started there, and Brother Louis was able to minister there, and the results are there are 8 people that got rebaptized in the message, and there are a whole group of them, I believe, that is on their way, just kind of scared about it, kind of wondering what this one would see and that one would see. And every man has to work out his own salvation. Is that right? So we believe that that these truths, they no one can hold it back anymore. It's this year we made a trip to Philippines. I had been there first time. I've been to Philippines many times, but the first trip I ever made was about 16 years ago. And there was a ministers' meeting on Godhead. 250 ministers were 200. Sorry, about 220 or 30. I remember. Brother Cyril has a better memory than me. I just want to say, my better half is not with me, Brother Cyril. I know that you all miss him, and I miss him myself. Yeah, he's a great comfort, a great help, and he has this unique way and gift that he can get conversations started. I'm not like that. You know, I would sit with you, and unless you bring up the subject, I'm not bringing it up, you know. But he knows how to just bring it up. He's really good. And through Brother Cyril's contacts, we were able to make, about 80% of the progress that has been made in propagating this message, this Son of Man, this seventh seal, this Godhead, this indwelling, has been because of the contacts of Brother Cyril. So, you know, God always puts two together because we all have different strengths. So, he's not here, so I say salute to him. God bless him, we remember him. Amen. And so about 16 years in him, Brother Cyril and I, through his contact, we were in the Philippines. And we did each minister's meeting. Out of that, 3 ministers came out. We only knew about 2. One of them kept awfully quiet until we found out recently that he did believe. He did baptize his group. And so I was there many times, and no progress. The 2 churches that were there remained 2 churches. And this year we were able to go back. I was hesitant about going because, you know, you have to use the resources where you think would make the best impact. We made a trip this year, and on that trip, once again, Brother Cyril and I separated. I went to Mananao, and for the first time, through the efforts of Brother Cernan, we were able to present Godhead to an apostle that has a number of churches. And from there, the apostle and about 8 of his ministers got rebaptized. Now, Mananao, and I just want to show you something is happening. When on our way back home, one of the brothers said, he's a businessman friend of us there. He said, Brother Tony, why don't you just let me take you up to the mountains? There's a really good hotel there. There's some really good restaurants. We'll eat, we'll sleep, and we'll eat. I said, that sounds awfully good. So on our way there, Brother Cyril said, you know, I met a brother by the name of Brother Alex, and Brother Cyril and him had just a little bit of rubbing, you know. But the brother still invited Brother Cyril. He said, if you're coming up to Baguio, he said, call us. We'll be happy to receive you. So he called the brothers on the way. It's about four of us were going up. It's about maybe 7 hours drive up in the mountains. He called him. And when he called him, he said, no, we'll be happy to come. So we were there, and instead of resting, we had 4 days of meetings. And in those 4 days of meetings, their meetings are not like us. They start about 10 o'clock in the morning. They don't finish until 6, 7 o'clock in the night. And so it's all-day meetings. So we had 4 days of meetings. Out of those meetings, I was able to baptize one apostle and two ministers. And they said they were going to take it to their churches. As from, what month was that? It's a couple of months ago this year, isn't it? Yeah. From that point to now, I have photographs and testimonies that over 150 people have been rebaptized. So, you know, the devil can only hold down the truth just for so long. And when I say the devil, I'm talking about spiritual wickedness in high places that dwells among ministers, especially them that have they have influence or they have a reputation, because those reputations are now being questioned, you see, and even their own salvation, their own birth as ministers are being questioned. Right? How can we be in the idolatry? How can we be oneness? How can we have worshipped? You know, how can we have been taught Son of Man in such a wrong? How come 63 is the coming of the Lord? How come, you know? So these are things, and when one of the most hated doctrines or teaching is the Godhead, apart from water baptism. Because when a man in your church says, I'm going to get rebaptized because I was a oneness when I got baptized, what it's literally saying is the man who presented Christ to that man did not know Christ. See, so they know why they're fighting it, right? Because to be saved, you must believe in your heart and confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. That's the Son of God. And you must believe that God has raised him up from the dead. Now, you know, that within itself, the oneness can't explain that. You see, you can't have faith in an invisible God. He chooses a place for you to come. And he says, I am approving this, you have faith in this. And the Bible said, to whom we have faith in, that is allotted. 1 Peter 1:19-20 said, your faith is imputed to be in God. When you have faith in Christ, your faith is in God. How do you keep the first commandment? Faith in Christ is faith in God. So, in Philippines, it's just taken off after 16 years, Brother Isaac. And now we are seeing all over the world. 5 years ago, nobody wanted to hear these truths. Today, places from all over the world is calling. Can you come? Can you send the material? Can we have more material? Can this? And so I believe that something is happening. And something good is happening. I want to thank Brother Logan. I know that there's a lot of work that he's put in trying to organize for the different believers and ministries coming through this December. I believe that the bride is getting together. One of the sins that God never did forgive Israel for, but the Bible said it was the last trick of Balaam, was the trick of saying we are all one. He said, Brabham said, God never did forgive them for it. You can run that down, you'll see it. He said that he never. And when you believe that every message church is a message church, every minister is born again, and no matter what you believe, no matter what doctrine you teach or you teach, we are all in a message, we are all, then you take communion with them. And that's one of the greatest things mistakes that you can make, because you take the body of Christ and join it to harlots. And once you do that, you're finished, because your demon powers comes, because now you have identified the body, your church. And what is the communion? Brabham says, not the bread. That represents, if you're taking a bread, that represents the word. Now what word are you eating? You mean you can eat this doctrine and that doctrine and this doctrine and that doctrine. What is the cup? It's the life. What spirit are you in? What spirit are you of? That's why communion must be only for them who can discern the body of Christ. And the body of Christ is them that are born again. You cannot be born again after you hear the word of truth. And you can't have the word of truth unless it comes from a man who is born again, because life comes through the body. Then you start questioning the whole thing. It goes back up to where? Who is the man that led you to Christ? Who is the man that baptized you? So we are all shaken. Myself, I had to go through the whole thing. You know, but who is humble enough? That's the question. Who is honest enough? Who is desperate enough? So everyone that I know of ministry-wise is trying to hide by either trying to kill the influence of these truths or trying to kill the influence of them that carry the truth. Instead of saying, check us, see if we are wrong. We believe what we have. Bring your word in. Let's sit down together and reason. They will not. Amen. They cannot. Okay? So when you think, Kenville, that you are just an insignificant group, latecomers, this, that, without you here, there is no light in Durban. Right? And without you here, there is no converted body. You say, but Tony, this man has been in the message for so long, how can you say that? Being long in a message doesn't give you a right to be wrong. Remember, friends, the man in Jesus' day who was called to teach the people about God did not know him. But the demons did. The demons knew the difference between the Son of God and Jehovah God. Is that right?
So I want to encourage you. I want to tell you that
those that are elect will come right here. Or if there's another church, if the brethren and Brother Sandy, I know they believe about the same concept. And then if they are grounded and if they are quickened to go on, then that will be another light. That's fine. As far as I know, without Kenville, there is no light in Durban. There is no truth and there is no place for life to go forth. Life comes through the body. You understand? And if you want to know if a man has life, Brother Bam said, take the doctrine and give it to him. If he can't take it, he does not have life. Okay? So I encourage you. I want to thank also Brother Denzel and his family for their gifts and their kindness. And Brother Roy and his sister Priscilla, I like my towels. I like my name on it too. Sister Jill said, you're stepping up in life. I said, yeah, I have my own towels with their names on it. Thank you very much. I didn't get a chance to thank you and Brother Larry and the officers. I appreciate all that you do. And everyone who contributes, Sister Navom, the family, the boys, Brother Terrence and his family, appreciate each and every one of you tonight. So this is a big, great night of the feast. I wanted to take that time and just brief you on some of the things that's happening. And around the world, we are believing that by the end of this year, we are believing that we'll be able to establish a couple more churches. I don't like to say where and how because, you know, it's... I told them I'm like Donald Trump. I get free advertisement. I don't need to advertise. Once they know I'm coming there, well, no. But the main thing is the messenger is not important, but the message is. And as long as that message gets in there, that's the most important thing. All right, we're talking about the most important subject that there is for the bride, and that is the seventh seal. And what is that seventh seal and what is the seven thunders? I have told you, and you read these quotes, your pastors can get them to you. Brother Branham said in a seventh seal, he said, what is the seventh seal? He said, I don't know. He said, what is these seven thunders? He said, I don't know. He does not know. And the truth of the fact is all the way back to Daniel 70 weeks, you can go before that, but let's just take Daniel 70 weeks and sixfold purpose of Gabriel to Daniel. You'll hear Brother Branham say that there are seven other seals on the backside of the book. Just wait until those seven other seals are revealed. In the seal book, who he said God will not permit him to make a mistake, he says the same thing again. He said, notice, one thunder and the seals in the book is open. He said, what happens when those other seals are open? So he did not know.
And he tells you now, he said that in a breach message, he tells you now in the seventh seal itself now, he says, I don't know what these thunders are, but I know they will be revealed right away. What is this great seal, the seventh seal? He said, I don't know. So what he said, going all the way back on the starlight, has to be in question with the things that he said after the seals become open. Right? That's why some people say, I'm so happy, I'm confident, I know what I'm saying, what the prophets say. The prophets say there are 14 seals. Well, you know, the prophet also said the white horse rides up with the Holy Spirit. You know, why don't they take that? You know, the prophet also said the souls under the altar was the early church. Why don't they take that? The prophet also said the evidence of the Holy Ghost was the fruits of the Spirit. Why don't you take that? Here, all the way up in the seventh seal, he's telling you, I do not know. But to my opinion, it will be revealed right away. Right? So, they're quoting a man who is telling you, I don't know. And he is not clear with it until 1965, Spiritual Food in Due Season, you know, 83, he says, I always thought it was something that was not written in the book. He said, I come to find out it's something that's been hid in the book. So the 14 seals preachers is going to wait for seven other seals that will never come. We'll meet them waiting in the second resurrection for those seals to open, because there is no other. This is the finish. Then you find that some say, because in the breach message he makes the statement, the seven angels who holds these seven thunders. In the breach message, he's saying that. Because in the seventh seal, he tells you, I don't know. He is believing the seven angels holds the seven thunders. But then in the seventh seal, he said, the seventh angel, the one with the seventh seal, he said, I don't know what it is, but I tell you, he said, it unfolded into seven thunders. So now, a correction is made right in the same seal book. Seven angels with seven thunders now became the seventh angel, one with the seven thunders, on the day on full seven thunders. Right? Then they ask him, because remember he said, I don't know what these thunders are. So they ask him, Brother Branham, what is these seven thunders? He said, oh, it's the mystery contained in the seals. Every age produces a mystery. Justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy. He said, I don't know. Right? So he said, everyone produced a mystery. Right? And then they asked him again in questions and answers 64. He said, Brother Branham, is the seven thunders preached to us but are not known as the thunders yet? He said, no, they've been preached. He said, that's what the seals was all about. Okay? So because of those two statements, some men began to teach that every seal was a thunder. Every seal was a thunder. So when he revealed the white horse rider, there was a thunder being revealed. The red horse rider, there was a thunder being revealed. The black horse thunder, there was a thunder being revealed. But that is not so. So today, I just want to draw the illustration of what these things mean. And we have no markers. It's raptured, brother. Oh, it's a hidden mystery. So, these seals kept what was in the book hid. Right? So when these seals are broken and they're broken, being revealed, white horse rider, what it is just the seals being broke. And when these seals are broke, they are broke by interpreting the symbol, what the horse rider was. Right? And then there is a mystery part of the seal. Now these seals were breaking in every age. The first seal broke with the first church age. I, Brother Bam said the seal broke. In part, the messenger casts a message, in part goes forth and declares war. Now, after these seals are completely revealed, because there is a history to the seals, and there's a mystery. The mystery comes in the day of the prophet. And the history is the church ages. Some people say, how can that be? So let me tell you how it is. Revelation chapter 2 and 3 is seals. Is the historical part of the seals. Now, to prove that to you, I'm just going to use one illustration. We know the prophet says the seals open in part, a mystery drop, a messenger catching the mystery in part, goes forth and declares it. Believers believe it, they are sealed, and temporary judgment falls. In every age that happens, how can a seal be broke? How can a seal open in part? It opened in part because every one of those churches' letters is connected to a seal. Right? Ephesus is connected with a lion. Smyrna, Pergamos, and Tyatira, they are connected with the ox. And the fifth and the sixth is connected with the man, and the seventh is connected with the eagle. Right? So each one of those church age letters is connected to a seal, but that's the part that was not sealed. You understand? That's the part that was not sealed. That part was the measure that every messenger would catch. So every messenger got their inspiration from under the letter. Even though they might not know that they were written in the book of Revelation, they were written in the book of Revelation. And that inspiration came and found them as seven stars. And that is how the seals broke in part. But they did not understand it as seals. They didn't understand it as seals. It's only when the prophet messenger of the seventh age comes, then he begins to tell you. Now, the opening of the seals, or the breaking of the lamb breaking the seals, is now to take that which was revealed through the ages, the seven church ages, and show you the history, that there's a mystery to each one of those in the history. So he's revealing the mystery in the history. Right? And that's why he said you'll see it proved all down through the ages. Okay, so now, that being said, was the seventh seal open in part in the church age? Yeah, in the seventh church age. Because Revelation 3:14 is the church age messenger. And then six verses down it says Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Who is that? That Son of Man. Is Son of Man in the seventh church age? Absolutely. Absolutely. He was there starting to knock 1946. Okay, so this is what I want to get to so that you, this is the most important part for you, is that the seven thunders is the mystery that was hid in the book. But to get the mystery hid in the book, he's got to take care of revealing to you the seals. So when the seals are revealed, now that which is hid in the book can be brought out. You say, but Brother Tony, can you give me an example? Yeah. Luther came and preached a mystery that became part, but only a part of it. He didn't really catch the full mystery of justification. So Luther preached justification by faith. Brother Branham came and preached true justification. Well, what's the difference? It's a very big difference. Because justification by faith means that everybody who believes in Christ is justified. Well, if everybody who believes in Christ, denomination believe in Christ, Pentecost believe in Christ, Baptists believe in Christ, how come they are not justified? Because if you are justified by faith, you cannot come up in the second resurrection because there's no charges. Justified means there's nothing against you. How come? Then the prophet comes and preaches justification and ties true justification with the sovereignty of God. Blessed is the man who God will not impute sin. showing you that it is the gene in you. Is that right? Those are the ones that God is going to give the faith that He will recognize that faith. What about sanctification? Luther preached sanctification. The prophet said Luther was a legalist. That's why they were called methodical Methodists. They were legalists. Right? Their stress was sanctification or the morality of the man. Sanctified life of the man. But then the prophet shows you foolish virgin is sanctified and they don't make it. So true sanctification is total separation from all unbelief. Right? And then you don't know what unbelief is. You might follow, you know, Webster, or you might follow Scofield, and he'll tell you it just means to miss the mark. And a prophet come and tell you, no. It's to misplace, dislocate, and misinterpret the word, which is the message of the hour. Did he take it further? Did he take the mission? Now, Pentecost came with a baptism of the Holy Ghost. He said you could be baptized 24 hours a day and go to hell. Now he's telling you what the true gift is. What is the true baptism? Is that gene? Is that seed? That's the gift of God. That's eternal life. Right? So they all produced, they all came to a measure, but they never went into the whole. So who's bringing that part that was there that even they themselves never saw? So the book, the thunders are in the book, and there are two things. The seventh seal is different from all the other first six seals, because the first six seal is going to bring you to the faith that was once delivered to the early church, apostolic faith. And the apostolic faith is the mystery of God, the wisdom of God. Can you put up 1 Corinthians 2 and 6? I'm laying the material out and I'm going to come back. It's the wisdom of God. But this seventh seal, no light hath shone upon it. This is the hidden wisdom of God. Paul said, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are matured. Now, lion, ox, man, they are not matured. They were children. So howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are matured. What age of maturity is? When can you eat strong meat? This age. Yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the leaders of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Now watch carefully to Paul. This is the scripture the prophet is using to preach Christ, the mystery of God revealed. We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. So he spoke the wisdom of God in a mystery. The early church had the wisdom of God. What they did not have was the hidden wisdom. That was the seventh seal. That was that seventh seal. He said, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Wisdom, hidden wisdom. Now I'm going to ask you, was the early church, they had wisdom, didn't they? Were they adopted? What do you think about an adopted son and his wisdom? Would he have more wisdom than the early church? Right? And it just so happened that under the seventh seal is where you're adopted. It just happens under the seventh seal, that's where you come to the mind that was in Christ. Okay? So let's get started. I say this to say this. So, the seven thunders is not the seven seals being broke. White horse rider, red horse rider, black. That is not the seven thunders. If that was the seven thunders, Scofield had it. Larkin had it. Because Larkin said the white horse rider was the Antichrist. They had 666 as the man of sin, the Pope. You can read Larkin's book. I guess Larkin must have got it. It's not that. So then, There is the group that believes that the seven thunders is the seven virtues. Well, the first virtue starts all the way down on the bottom of the pyramid, faith, and all the way down to the Ephesian age. Right? So if it is the virtue, it says only when the mighty angel descend, the seven thunders is uttered. Is that right? Only when the mighty angel... So only when the mighty angel descend, these seven thunders are uttered. So what happened to all the age going all the way back? If they are virtues. You mean they were virtueless? No. And then, Brother Bam said the seven thunders give rapture in faith. Faith cometh by... Virtue comes by suffering. Character comes by suffering. Or can you? So why did the Coleman group, why did they follow the seven thunder with seven virtue? Because in the second coming of Brother Branham's quote, Brother Branham quoted in Revelation 10, he said, what are these thunders? He says, a life thundering out with sweetness and holiness. Well, from the minute they heard that, it's a life. Well, what's better life than the virtues? Now, he said that in second coming. But in the seventh seal, he said, I don't know what they are. So you have an entire movement that started under Brother Coleman that is still alive today that's built on an error. And they don't even know it. So seven thunders is not seven, the seven virtues. It is not the seven seals, white horse rider, black horse rider. It is not. It is not seven men, as they did in the 70s, the 80s, the early 80s, seven men. Junior Jackson, Brother Thornton, Stokely, those men, those sons of thunder, they are not. That was another doctrine that came out. Then you have those who believe that it's not revealed. Well, if it's not revealed, then no one can preach you rapture in faith. Is that right? Like I said, if you want to get your pastor preaching it really quick, just tell him, well, Pastor, since you're not preaching rapture in faith, I'll wait until Brother Branham comes back. I'll pay my tithing. See how quickly he gets to thinking. Because why would I come to a church where I don't have any hope for rapture in faith? Why should I pay my tithing to a man? I mean, who am I going to do there and sing songs and wait until it happens? This is the promise. Our promise. So, why did these things develop? Now, ask yourself, for those of you who are from different churches, that outside of hearing these Godhead and these different truths, how much your pastor talks about it, what does he really teach about it? The highlights? Oh, it gives rapture and faith. Oh, it's connected with the coming of the Lord. Oh, but what else? What is it? Is it open? Is it revealed? What does it say? What is it supposed to do? So the ministers don't know, and they don't want the other ministers to know, and they don't know, so how can you know? Right? So the best thing to do is just tell them it has 14 seals, so they'll wait for it. That's the best thing you can do. I mean, to me, that's the best devil's plan you can find. Right? And they eat it up. People eat that up. All right, let's get into the word. Let us look at it. I showed you a law, and in this law, Brother Louis, am I stuck? Oh, it's the pad. Okay, I showed you a law, and this law was the law of equality, right? It's not that one, is it? It's this one. And I want to just rehearse this verse for about 10 minutes. Brother Bam said, now notice exactly the continuity of the scriptures. Exactly the same. Under the seventh trumpet is to Israel the same as the seventh seal to the church. So if I don't know, now let's look at what we know so far. We know that Revelation 8 and 1 is a half hour silence. You say we don't know what that is. All right. Okay. Yeah, You all really can't see that? Is that big enough? Wow. Dilma needs to eat more carrots. Okay. Now, I'm going to go back and forth with this. So bear with me. It is not so much preaching. It's just pointing things out to you. Okay? So you're a mature audience. This is what we're doing. You need to see how the information fits together. This is a law. This law says A equals B. Let's say I do not know what A is, but I know what B is. Do I know what A is? I do. So all I need to know, if we don't know what the seventh seal is silence, but if I know what the seventh trumpet is, then I know what the seventh seal is. That's the law. Now he's giving that law under the seventh trumpet is to Israel the same as the seventh seal was to the church. Now this half hour of silence is the seventh seal. So if I know what the seventh trumpet is, I know what that half, what is happening in that half hour of silence. Is that right? And if that half hour of silence means there's something happening somewhere, right? And the only activity there is God has descending on the earth, stand before men, groups of men, and declare himself. In the rapture message, the prophet is telling you that. I tell you, I think that's a very important thing. Right? Again, all right, I'm not going to go through the bitter persecution. I'm going to read again. Notice, making ready the people. How perfect the seventh trumpet is. How perfect then the seventh trumpet and the seventh seal is. Perfectly together, the persecution. All right. The seventh seal, the seventh trumpet to the Jews. Look at the moon darkened out. What under? See? It's drawn out. The Son of Man being drove from the church. So under this seventh seal is going to come Revelation 3:20, where he is finally out of the church. It's not when the Son of Man is drove out of the church. Behold, he's on the what? Outside. He's telling you that. Okay, I'm just putting up the pattern up here now. So the seventh trumpet and the seventh seal. Now Revelation 10:1. The Son of Man comes in a cloud. You say, Brother Tony, how can you see the mighty angel up there? What is that? That's the Son of Man coming in the ministry of the open book. You say, no, you can't make that. Okay. Let's look again. This is on this side, Revelation, the half hour silence. The seventh seal is Revelation 10:1. Right, let's make that clear. Because under Revelation 10, there is seven thunders. So, let's look at that. Give me 1 second. Like I say, I'm going back and forth, and the reason I have to do this is because this requires you to read it. It's not just me saying it. It requires us to read it. Not big enough. Then I'll have to go back and make it small all the time. All right. Now one group states the seals are not open. Other groups say there is. Now we find out that the sixth seal has been opened to us. But we see it and know that the seventh seal cannot be broke to the public until the hour arrives. Now, they're thinking that our arrival is maybe when Brother Bram come back. No, it's between 62 to 65, after the seals are open, he's going to be dropping it. Because remember, he said he doesn't know. But God, he preached the trumpets and he didn't know. The Lord said, he wants to preach the trumpets. He said, you already preached it, but you don't know. See, now, there are some reason that God let this voices be thundered. Because it must come, see? See, we find that Christ the Lamb took the book in his hand and he opened the seventh seal. So the seventh seal is open. The Lamb opened it. But it is not revealed to the prophet as yet. Right? But you see, it's a hidden mystery. Well, we know that. I just put that up there. There's a difference between the wisdom of God and the hidden wisdom of God. There's a difference between the mystery that had loose ends, lost things, and the hidden things. Seven seal is the hidden things. The first six seal is the lost things or the loose ends. Again. But it now, watch carefully. He's going to tie this together very nicely. He says, no one knows it, but it's right along with what he says. No one would know his coming. They also would not know about this seven thunder. So two things. Under the seven seal, under this half hour silence, under the seven seal are two things. One of them is the coming of the Lord. Of the Lord. The second thing is the seven thunders. They are not the same. The seven thunders is the message of the Son of Man. The Son of Man has three poles. The first pole starts 1946 to 1963 was the first and second pole. The one pole that they do not know that must be a secret was the third pole. The third pole is the opening of the word. It cannot be open unless a message comes. That message is seven thunders. So the seven thunders is the third pole or the opening of the word. And the third pole is the message of the Son of Man. The message of the Son. Not the power of the Son of Man in the first two poles. But the message, the Son of Man being revealed. Not in power. The Son of Man being revealed in his own words. So this is the Son of Man revealing power. But the thunders is the Son of Man being revealed in his own word. This is called in 1 Thessalonians. So the seven thunders is in a threefold mystery. He's going to tell you that in the seventh seal. He said, I saw these thunders. It unfolded in a threefold mystery. I have spoken, will speak, and one is in an unknown language. He saw it, but he did not recognize what it was. But this is 63, 65 now in the rapture message. He now begins to tell you, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. That's the first fool. A voice. Second fool, a trump, third fool. So what is the seven thunder? It is the shout to the bride. The seven thunder is the voice to the dead. The seven thunders is the trump to Moses and Elijah that goes across. So Revelation 8 and 1 is Revelation 10 and 1 is 1 Thessalonians 4:14. All of that is seven seal. So what is the shout? Okay. The seven thunder, the seven seal has two things. I'm going to read it again. He opened the seven seal, but you see it's a hidden mystery. No one knows it. What is this mystery? But it's right along with what he said. No one would know his coming. They also would not know this seven thunder. They are connected together. So now there is the coming of the Lord. Now Brother Branham taught us there's two things in the Bible that you must not get mixed up. You must not get the appearing and the coming mixed up. The appearing is God in the form of a prophet, Son of Man, that has one, two, three poles. Right? This is Elohim. The coming is the Son of God in the air. Right? Now for the oneness, that doesn't mean anything. But for you and I, that means a whole lot. Right? Because now, watch carefully now, this Son cannot come back until the restoration of all things. Now only Malachi 4 can restore all things. Malachi 4 and 5 and Matthew 17:11. Is that right? He cannot come back until the restoration of how many things? All things. And that restoration is to come back in the form of the revealed word. And then we would get title deed in our hands. Right? When we get title deed, then we meet the Lord in the air. So there is a Lord we meet in the air. And there is a Lord who is appearing. And they are not the same. Alright? So let's get this clear, because this will clear this up here. So now let's go to Acts 2:36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know surely that God, is God Elohim, Jehovah, had made that same Jesus whom you crucified, that's the Son of God, had made him both Lord and Christ. So this is Jesus, the Son of God. He's the one coming. Alright? Now he has made him Lord and Christ. When did he make him Lord and Christ? At the resurrection. That is what David saw. Stop right there. Let's go to Psalms 110 now. So at the resurrection, God made his Son Lord, because Jesus comes back in Matthew 28:18, said, all power, which means authority, not dutumis. All authority is given unto me in heaven and earth. Is that lordship? Absolutely. Then he says here, and the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make. Now, how did David know this? David saw a vision. He saw a vision when the Lord, when God made his Son Lord. He saw a vision of it. And now you have two Lord. The Lord said unto my Lord. There's the Lord who was made Lord, and you have Jehovah who made him Lord. Is that right? Well then, Elohim, Jehovah, is appearing in the form of a prophet like Genesis 18. And this one is the judge of all the earth. Will not the judge of all the earth do right? This is the one who discerns the thoughts of the heart. So he's Hebrews 4:12-13. Let's look at seven seal now. We're looking at it, right? So, without... Let's look at the seven thunders and see what happens. It says here, Elohim appeared in the form of a prophet. And that prophet on the earth is Son of Man. He has the Son of Man in power. That's Luke 21:27. And then the Son of Man in cloud and great glory. Is that right? The cloud and great glory come 1963. That's what the opening of. So these two is called the preparation. In the day, not in the days of his voice, there's no voice there. This is preparation. In the day of his voice, right? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. 46:63. I'm knocking with power. If it attract your attention. If any man hear my voice. Voice comes behind the sign. The voice is always behind the sign. So the voice of Revelation 3:20 comes after the preparation. So from 46:63, that was preparation. Then 63 comes the message, right? And that is to make the bride ready. Right? How do you mean? What do you need to be ready? You need perfect faith. You need rapture in faith. Now rapture in faith and perfect faith is what seven thunders is going to give you. So what is the seven thunder? It's the message of the Son of Man. Right? It's not seven individual mysteries. It's the entire message of the Son of Man that has been. Things that has been hid. Like marriage and divorce. Was that hid? People say there's no serpent seed. That Eve just propagated seed. There's more to it than that. Right? Okay. Now, let's unfold this. So now, everybody okay? So this is the Lord. This is my Lord. Sitting on the right hand. He cannot come down. Right? So when it says, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven in 1 Thessalonians, He is coming down to prepare Abraham and Sarah to meet the promised son, because they can't meet him unless their body changes. Their body can't change until rapture and faith. Rapture and faith can't happen without seven thunders. Seven thunders cannot happen without the sense of the mighty angel. Follow again. A man come in Genesis 18. Abraham call him Jehovah. Is that right? The man tells Abraham to Sarah the secret of her heart. Right? Sarah lied. You say, but you did. You did laugh. Then this man looks down to Sodom. When he looks back at Abraham, he said, shall I hide from Abraham the thing I'm about to do? He is the man could hide. He is the man could reveal. Only God can give revelation. Right? He said, shall I hide from Abraham the thing I'm about to do, seeing that Abraham is going to be heir? Then he says, Abraham looks at the man. He said, oh, wait a minute. That's the judge of all the earth. Turn the photo. That's the judge of all the earth. Will not the judge of all the earth do right? Then he says, I am going to visit Sarah according to the time of life. During that time, the Bible said, Paul says, that Sarah drew strength from Abraham. Well, who's Abraham? That's William Branham to us. That's our prophet husband. We are drawing strength from our Abraham. Is that right? Because there's going to be a refilling of the Holy Ghost. The dynamics of this church is going to be a refilling when there's going to be another visitation or outpouring of dynamics that will change our bodies, because we cannot meet the promised son in this body. Now, I ask you, was not Abraham and Sarah body changed before Isaac appears? Isaac coming, the baby, represents the coming of the Lord. But the one who appeared, that was Jehovah God. Isaac is the promised son. Again, let's look at this carefully. So when it says the Lord himself shall descend from heaven, and you ask the fivefold ministry today, why they say the Lord himself? Because the Bible expects the bride to know at that time the difference between the Lord and my Lord. So which Lord is descending? They cannot tell you. I guarantee they never taught you that. I guarantee in Durban they never taught you that, because they do not know why it is the Lord himself has to descend. Why the Lord himself? Because you must know the difference between the Lord said unto my Lord, the one who was made Lord in Christ, is not the one descending. The heavens must retain him. Now, page 74 of the steel book, Brother Bam takes the mighty angel that descends from heaven, page 74, and says that mighty angel is Christ. Right? Now, which Christ is it? Is it the one who has been made Christ? Remember, he's made Lord, and he's made Christ. Is it the one who has made Christ coming down? No. No, this is God who amorphes himself. First Thessalonians said the Lord himself shall descend from heaven, and Revelation said he comes down in the form of a mighty angel. They are the same. So then, that means the shout and the thunders is equal. Now, when the shout happens, oh brother, I don't know if I have the quote, you can bring it up. The Bible said, Jesus does all three as he descends. It's in a rapture message, if you can pull that. Jesus does all three. Or you can put before Jesus appears. It's in a rapture message. I don't want to lose this. I can go there. I would like to show you this before I go. All right, now, watch again. So watch carefully. The seventh seal is connected with the coming of the Lord. This part of the seal is not revealed. No one knows this. We don't know when the Son will come. We just have to wait for him. Now, I want you to notice this. Three things happen. A voice, a shout, a voice, a trump has to happen before Jesus appears, which is this Jesus will appear, has to happen. Let's read. Three things happen. A shout, a voice, a trump, has to happen. You see this word before? Now, if he appears before the stout voice and trump, he comes before we are ready. Isn't that right? He that is why they say they must have read this message many times. But without Godhead, without a birth, without Godhead, you will never pick it up. Watch carefully again. Three things happens: a voice, a shout, a voice, a trump. Has to happen before Jesus appears. Well, if the shout is a message to give you rapture and faith, how can he appear before that? Unless there is two Jesus. Unless there is Jesus the Son and Jehovah of the old, who took a family name that is to be revealed in the thunders, that his name is Jesus too. So he goes on to say, now a shout. Now, before Jesus, now a shout. Jesus does all three of them when he is descending. So now you have one who must come after the short voice and trump, and you have one who has to descend with the short voice and the trump. Before I leave this and go to that, watch carefully. Now notice, to help me, by God, I tell the truth. Now that is what this great secret that lays beneath the seal, I do not know. I do not know it. I don't know what's under that half hour silence. He said, I couldn't make it out. I couldn't tell just what it, and just what it said. It said something, but I couldn't make it out. But I know that it was them seven thunders. So the half hour, there are seven thunders on the earth. So Revelation 8 and 1 is equal to Revelation 10, 1 to 7. Now, you say, brother, so is this the Lord himself? It says his face was as the sun, right? That's what Psalms 84 and 11 said. The Lord Jehovah is a sun unto us. You say, brother, Tony, has he taken the angel form before? Yes. He took the angel of the covenant form many times. He is a messenger of his own message many of times. But not to us, to prophets. Not to us, to prophets, major prophets. All right, now let's get back to this here. I'm going to close this off. And let me get back to this here. Let me do this here. Give me, I have to find them. Okay, let's read it. Can you see that, or I need it bigger? It's okay? Bigger. I'm going to buy my friend new glasses, guaranteed. Okay, watch carefully again. Three things happen: a shout, a voice, a trump has to happen before Jesus appears. I'm telling you, that's Jesus, the Son of God. Before, it has to happen before he appears. There's one that descends with it. There's one that appears after it. Again, now, Jesus does all three. There's another Jesus now. Does all three when he's descending. A shout, what is a shout? It's a message going forth. It's the living bread of life. What is the shout? It's the message going forth. Well, what's the last message? The message of the Son of Man being revealed. Luke 17:30. Is that right? Is that Son of Man? How much poles does Son of Man have? Three poles. What was the first two poles? Son of Man in power. What's the last pole? Son of Man in cloud and glory. All God's glory is in his word, and all God's word is behind his prophet. And he veils him. Again. Now, the living bread, life for the bride. For the who? For the bride. Now, God has a way of doing things. He never changes his policy. Never. He's unchanged. Amos 3 and 7 said he would do nothing. So he's telling you that this message is going to come by a prophet. The only prophet in the land is Revelation 10:7 and Malachi 4. Right? So the seventh angel is on the earth at the time of this mighty angel is sent. Why? Because he's bringing a message for that prophet. And when the lion roars, who can but prophesy? Because the Lord God has spoken. Right? So this is the Lord God speaking to his prophet. Now you say, prove it to me. I don't have the time because we are way behind on this. Watch carefully. In Jesus' day, in John 20, the Bible said, and it thundered. He said, the man heard the thunder, but Jesus heard the voice. He said, this happened, right? This happened. He said, Father, glorify me with the glory I had with thee. He said, oh, Father, glorify thy name. Not me, glorify thy name. He said, I have glorified and will glorify it again. There are two parts of Son of Man. Son of Man is glorified in Jesus. Then Son of Man is come and glorified in this day in William Branham. Right? And the boat of them had thundered. And the men on the earth heard what he said. The people only heard the noise. Again. So he ties it with a promise. Now, I told you there are two Jesuses there. Right? Let's see if that be true. I told you also that the Lord himself has to be this one, not my Lord descending, because the heavens must retain him. He cannot come until after the thunders produce rapture and faith for us. But this one is coming to produce rapture and faith in us. Right? Now, watch again. Look, when he was here on earth, how many knows that that was a pillar of fire that followed the children of Israel in the wilderness? It was Christ, now the angel of the covenant. Now, he's going to show you which Christ it is. Is this an angel of the covenant here? Did page 74 the prophet say that was the Christ? Did he say that was the angel of the covenant? Did he say that was a pillar of fire? Right? Now, watch again. And if this is Christ, then 1 Thessalonians says the Lord himself, that we are right on the mark. Right? Again, follow the children of Israel. It was Christ, not the anointed man, the anointing, the pillar of fire. The angel of the covenant. Alright, how many knows that was Jesus in Jesus, that same Spirit? That was Jesus the Father in Jesus the Son of the Jordan River. God had anointed Christ. Is that right? Now, the question about it. Did Jesus have a short voice and trump? Brother Bam said, Jesus, what's your short voice and trump back there with Jesus? Now, watch carefully. Who descends first? Which Jesus descends first to give the Son, the prophet on the earth, the short message? This one. He has to appear. He is the one with the rapturing message. Again. Watch carefully again now. So I'm showing you there are two Jesuses here. But because they don't know, they can't see it, they can't read it like that. They are blind. Right? Now you talk about one in a million, now you can believe one in a million. Durban has not a clue. These things are not for the public. This is for bride. You're not here by accident or coincidence. Amen. Watch carefully again. Watch unveiling of God. Watch him very carefully now. Greeks wanted to see him. John 12:20, that's where I just quoted, where it thundered. Many of you heard me preach on that, saying, sir, we would see Jesus. Which one do you want to see, friend? Do you want to see the one who could say, I can do nothing? Or the one who was the healer? Which one do you want? Which Jesus do you sing about after the seals were opened? If it's the same old Jesus was in the denomination you're still picturing, you're in idolatry. You're in doctrinal idolatry. Doctrinal idolatry is when your doctrine is false and he said, you worship me in vain, teaching for doctrine the commandment of men. So when your doctrine is wrong, you're in doctrinal idolatry. And your worship is worshiping the devil and don't know it. In the same message. Again. But they got stirred up about this man who could heal the sick, could foretell things that happened to the dot. Do you think the son could do that? And they got stirred up, so they come to see him. Now watch close. The prophet said, now watch close. Don't miss this. See? Don't miss this, see? And they come and they said to Philip, which is of Bethesda, sir, we would see Jesus. And Philip and another disciple brought him to Jesus to see Jesus. They brought him to this Jesus to see this Jesus. Now watch the prophet now. Watch him. Notice the very words that Jesus reported back to them. For they come to see who he was and they couldn't see him. What do you mean they couldn't see him? They seen the form. Well, the form is the man. God in the form of a man. They saw the man. They saw the Son of God. Now watch the title of the message. The unveiling of. They seen the form. But he was in his. Who was in the temple? The God, the Jehovah God was in his son. The human temple. Veiled in human flesh. Now I ask you, which one you want to see? Because you will be able to see him. But no man at any time has seen him. He's always behind prophets. Again. Now we find out that Jesus said, I come in my Father's name and you receive me not. Then the name of the Father must be. So who is he sending here? The Son or the Father? So you see, the Jesus who is the covenant angel, the Jesus who is the pillar of fire, the Jesus who is the Christ, is this one, the Father. Because Moses was Christ, Elijah was Christ, all of those were Christ because they are anointed one. They can change, but he cannot change. He is always the one behind the veil. He don't change. He only changes like Shakespeare play. The same actor, but different mask. All right. The name of the Father is Jesus. Because Jesus, I come in my Father's name. And receive me not. Now, you believe that? Well then, what about who's coming here now? And these things. This is your rapture message. This is your rapture message. These things happen. A shout, a voice, a trump has to happen before he appears. Now watch, he continues now. A shout. Jesus does all three of them when he is descending. Now, who is the one who the Lord himself shall descend from heaven? Who is the one descending? The Lord himself. You think you could take a rapture with perverting the word? So they believe that just like we, but they don't understand it like us. Therefore, it's two different gospels. Right? Two different gospels. I'm going to give you one more before I move on because I got to go. Who is the Jesus now? Watch every single one of them now. Calling Jesus on the scene. Which one has to come on the scene? Now, that is promised today. Not the Son of Man? Well, when you have one Jesus in mind, from the minute you pick up the book and you read, calling the minister, the preacher, calling Jesus on the scene, he's in sin. Because you don't know which Jesus it is. When he study it, he's in deeper sin. When he preach it to you, now you have sin like him. Because sin come by hearing. Unbelief come by hearing, right? To miss the mark. So you're in sin. Who is the Jesus that keeps his appointment? Does the Son know when he's coming back? Does he know when he's coming back, Brother Tim? Well, then he's the one who makes all the appointments. Right? No disappointments there. So then, when they pick up the book to read, Jesus keep all his appointment. What is that? Sin. So we will see Jesus. Then Jesus came and called. Right? There is this Jesus who is your big brother who you're being conformed to. We got a big brother, Jesus, the Son of God. But we have a father who is Jesus, Jehovah of the old. Right? Again. And when, I just want to do a couple more. We see in the scriptures that God, after dwelling in Christ, did God dwell in Christ? or was the man God himself? Did God dwell in Christ? Had returned back by the name of what? Well, that's Jesus the Holy Spirit, because you have Jesus in the fatherhood with Moses, you have Jesus in Jesus in the Son, and you have Jesus in the pillar of fire, the Holy Ghost in the church. Father, Son. Which name were you baptized in? The name of the Son? Then you're a oneness. And you'll die a oneness. Which Lord Jesus were you baptized in? This is Jehovah Lord. This is the Lord Jehovah, whose new name is, family name is Jesus, and he is the one that anoints all the prophets. So you have the Lord Jesus Christ the Father, and you have the Lord Jesus Christ the Son. The Lord Jesus Christ the Father was in Moses. Then he came in Jesus, his Son, Jesus in Jesus. Then he went on the throne, he can't come back. Then he come back as a pillar of fire in the church. Who is Father, Son, Holy Ghost? Which one were you baptized in? See? So you're looking, the message church in Durban, the lodges, they're looking for rapture and they don't even have baptism right. And the people are so proud, they know so much because they read the book. They say, well, that man, he's talking about Jesus. And what do you know about that? That's just rubbish. Rebaptism. I was baptized in the right name. Really? That's what the proud do. Yay, all the proud will be burnt up. That's what Malachi said. They're proud. They know. That they know it. They know, but they know it not, that they don't know. So if they know it not, they don't know. They think they know. Right? Oh, my pastor has been in it for 50 years. Yeah, he had good practice at error. That's the kind of excuse they give you. He's the oldest church. Yeah, he's the oldest sinner. He just don't know it. You know how many people go to our church? That means he's a bigger deceiver, because he deceives more and sells more to hell than the rest of them. Because you know, in the message, nobody believes that anybody in the message is going to go to hell. Nobody believes any preacher in the message go to hell. After all, they love the prophet, they love the message. Then that's a lie. They are going to go. 14 seals is going to go. Discerning the body. Now, I'm trying to bring you this here. This revelation. You've got to know who came down. You got to know what the prophet taught about this here, because this is your seal. And if you know, it is connected with the coming of the Lord. But if seal, the Lord cannot come without shout. That's why he said, it is connected. Two things are under the seal. If one is the coming of the Lord, that's a secret. That seventh seal is not known. That is not revealed to us. But this seventh thunder is. Because this thunder is what produced rapture and faith for him to come back in the air. That's why the seventh seal is connected with the coming of the Lord and the seven thunders. Don't make the seven thunders the coming of the Lord. The seven seal is the coming of the Lord. And the seven seal is the seven thunders that prepare and make the bride ready with rapture and faith for that coming. Watch again now. Just watch for his sign. How many knows that Jesus today, well, yesterday he was in his Son. And before that, he was in Moses. Jesus today is a pillar of fire that followed the children of Israel. I come from God, I go to God. Is what he said. Now, who spoke that? Who was in a pillar of fire before he came and dwelt in his Son? And who went back in a pillar of fire? And where did the Son go back in a glorified body? He never went back in a pillar of fire. He went back in a glorified body sitting on the throne. Which one went back in a pillar of fire? See, they don't know. They don't know. They are blind. You say, why am I so hard? Because, friends, they are killing people in the name of this message. Giving them false hope that they're going to take a rapture. Walking around like they know something. And if Brother Louis is going to produce a bride here, he has to have a wise bride. And a wise bride knows its enemy. He knows the devil tactic. Spiritual wickedness don't lie in lily members. It lies in high places, and the highest place is preachers. Especially the one with reputation that people listen to. Are you a wise virgin or foolish? And how do you overcome your enemy? You have to know him and his devices. Right? Every preacher that comes on your pulpit, is he converted? That's how you check by his word, his doctrine, his teaching. That's what makes you wise. Not just a whole bunch of knowledge, but to be able to discern between the Antichrist spirit and overcome it. Watch again now. Came from God. Is that right? And when Paul met him on the road to Damascus, what was he? The great light, the pillar of fire. He is the same one today, the Holy Spirit of God. You see who is the Jesus today? The Holy Spirit. He was in his Son. Now watch carefully. The body of Jesus, which is the Son of God, sits on the right hand of God on his throne in heaven. Is it dead? Thank you very much. It's not. He's making intercession. But his spirit is here on earth, completing and finishing his work. And that same spirit that lived in the body of Jesus Christ was the same spirit that was in that angel that come to Sodom and Gomorrah that can tell the secret in Sarah's heart. Watch again. Do you believe that? The same one that followed the children of Israel, the same. That's him. But because every time they hear the word Christ, just look at the man. Every time they hear the word Jesus, they go back to the man. This is Jesus Jehovah too. Again, proving his word. You know this one, but I'm almost to the end of this part here. He promised these things would happen in the last days, that the Son of Man will be manifest. Son of Man means God in flesh, in the form of a prophet. Now remember, that was not Jesus talking to Abraham there that could discern the thoughts of Sarah. If that was not Jesus talking to Abraham there, then it can't be Jesus today that is descending. Because the one who descends is talking to us in the form of a prophet. Right? That was not. So there's a Jesus, because I'm going to throw you a twister here in the same quote. In this quote, there's two Jesus. Like in most in the rapture message. Watch again. He promised these things will happen in the last days. The Son of Man will be manifest. Now remember, that was not Jesus talking to Abraham there that can discern the thoughts in Sarah's mind behind him. That was not Jesus. He had not yet been born. That's the one that had the beginning. But it was a man in human flesh that Abraham called who? That's exactly what we are saying. He cannot appear before short voice and trump. And short voice and trump cannot happen unless the Lord himself descends. Again. He said, the great Almighty showing Jesus said as it was in the days of Sodom. Now watch close anytime he tells you that something is coming. He said, watch close in the days of Sodom, so will be coming of the Son of Man is revealed. See, it is Son of Man. Watch carefully. Jesus Christ will come down in human flesh among us. No, that was not Jesus in Genesis 18, but he said Genesis 18 is our day. Well, if that was not Jesus in Genesis 18 talking to Abraham, then he's not the same yesterday, today, and forever. Because one of them is the same, one of them is not. One of them is not eternal. So the one who was not talking to Abraham is the one who is born, who is the Son. But the one who talked to Abraham in Genesis 18 is the one that's talking to us today, this Jesus Christ. This Jesus Christ, the Son of Man. Not that one. See, it's the Son of Man. Jesus Christ will come down in human flesh among us and will make his word so real and reunite the church as being one, the bride, and she'll go home for the supper. I think pretty much we made this quite clear. All right, so let me just add it up quick again. Brother Louis, let's see here. Brother Louis, seventh seal there. All right, so we did that. Now I'm going to tie this together. Revelation 8 and 1 is Revelation 10, 1 to 7. In 10, 1 to 7, you find a prophet, 7, 10, 7. Is that right? And you find a message, which is seven thunders, that's a shout. Can I say that? Can I say that this here, this scripture, 1 Thessalonians, is a rapture? Can I say that the rapture takes place in Revelation 4 and 1? Is all right? Let's look at it now. I'm just trying to summarize before I add the second piece. this last piece. Because of course we'll never finish it, but we will get to it. Church take the rapture and the fourth seal. Do you see it? Yes, yes. Yeah, you got good eyes. Now you got good eyes. I'm just reading two quotes on this because I think I did it last night, but I need to make the whole thing. Revelation 8 and 1, Revelation 10, 1 to 7, 1 Thessalonians 4, 16, Revelation 3, 20, they put them on the outside, I read the quote, right? The seventh seal, two things, two major things, it's the coming of the Lord. We don't know this part of the seal. So the seventh seal have two parts. The two parts of the seventh seal is this, no, right? The two parts, the seventh seal has two parts. The first part is the appearing of the Lord. And the second part is the coming of the Lord. Under the appearing of the Lord, you'll have the Son of Man ministry. Son of Man means three things. One, Son of Man is God in the form of a prophet. Second, Son of Man is a dispensation. Is that right? After church ages. And three, Son of Man is a ministry that has three folds. So where did the Son of Man first and second pole start? 1946. So when did the Son of Man start appearing? 46. When did the seventh seal open in part? 1946. Then under the appearing, there must be a voice behind the sign. That starts 1963 with the descent of the mighty angel. Right? Don't get confused. Well, if the Son of Man is God in human flesh, how come he's now coming down in 63? No. The Lord ascends and descends on the Son of Man. Watch carefully. Did the Lord descend on John the Baptist and give him a vision about Christ, who you see the pillar of fire descending on? Did the pillar of fire descend in Christ at the Jordan River? Did it leave him in Gethsemane? Did it pick him up in the ministry beyond the grave? Did it bring him up from the grave? Did it take him and anoint him for 40 days on the earth? Did it take him to the throne? Did it leave him there? Did it come back down on the day of Pentecost? That's why in 62 the prophet says, I can't continue like this. I'm going to the mountain without food and water. I must hear from God. Why? The pillar of fire had left him. He has to go up there now. And everything is focused, out, not looking back anymore. Everything is focused looking up. So Revelation 4 and 1, let's get that cleared up. Right? It's a rapture. The rapture takes place there. Oh, now notice John being taken up immediately after the church age. What a type of the rapture church. Immediately after the church is over. You see, the Laodicean churches, then comes the rapture. What chapter does the church take the rapture in? The fourth chapter. You say, no, it's Revelation 10, 1, it takes it. Revelation tells you who is coming down so the bride can go up. First Thessalonians tells you who is coming down and what he's doing. He's bringing a message. But the fourth chapter is telling you who is going up. John is going up, a type of the church. Oh, notice, John being taken up after the church ages, which Revelation 2 and 3, was a type of the rapture church. Immediately after the church age is over, the ladies and then comes the rapture. The church goes up like John into the presence of God. Oh, just winds all around. Caught up. The rapture of the church. This place, the book of Revelation, was written, you see, at the end of the church ages. 1946 starts the day of the Lord. Because John was caught up in the day of the Lord. Is it not the day of the Lord, the day of the judge? Is that right? Is not the first pole he's judging diseases in the body? Is it not the second pole that judging the thoughts of the heart? Is not the third pole he judges every seed of religion? I cannot hear you. Well, where did the judging start? Again. Hear what the prophet said. There was a living creature. What John represented, the entire church was taken up. I told you one person here in a vision can represent the entire body covered, of Christ covered. All right. And they went through all that song that was Christ was the door. And the same voice that was walking in the midst of the golden candlestick. Also the same voice he heard in heaven saying, come up hither. And John went up. It represented the church going up. So come up hither is the church going forward. Going up. The church goes up in two ways. One, she's caught up in the mystery of that seventh seal. Right? And that seventh seal is also the taking away of the bride. If you notice the language of Feast of the Trumpet quote, it doesn't say the bride is caught up in the mystery of the seventh seal. The bride is caught up in the mystery of that seventh seal, of a going. So there are two things there. The seventh seal has the seven thunders. We must be caught up in that. And then our going to meet the Lord in the air. What's how perfect that perfect quote is? Perfect quote. Right? Leaves nothing to error. All right. So Revelation 4 is the rapture. Can I put Revelation 4 as the seventh seal? I can do that, right? Okay, we took that, close that off now. Then we added Matthew 25. Now, this is my last night, right? And I'm sure Brother Louis is going to give you a rest until Sunday, right? But I can't let you go without two things being done. I must finish the foolish virgin I started last night. I mean the wise virgins. And I must finish one of the most important part of the rapture is the ministry of the seventh angel, the one with the seventh seal, with the swept back wings. He will not say that without a reason. He said, that angel meant more to me than all the... He said, oh, the other seals meant a whole lot to me, but you don't know what this seventh seal has meant to me. Right? How can we talk about that? Now, I'm breaking this thing down. I must have about 40 files on 7C. I'm not saying that boastfully. It's just choosing the things that make connection for you to see. Because once the ministry sees, hears the line of direction, they take off and they go with it. Because now they realize it is open, it is made known, and they know what the concept is, you can study it. Again. All right. I would have finished if I didn't have to wipe this out. I tell my people I would finish quicker if they would listen faster. They're good people. They suffer really well for me. Okay. All right. Now, behold the bridegroom cometh. So let's do that first. And I'm going to do it. I'm going to cut it short. So I'm going to read behold. I'm not going to read the scriptures. I'm not going to read the live trimming. I'm going to start here. Rapture. The first thing comes, when he starts descending from heaven, there's a shout. What is it? A message to get the people together. A message come forth. First, lamb trimming time. Wow. Wow. So 1 Thessalonians 4 and 16. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Is a message, right? And that message is equal to Matthew 25 with someone who is on the earth speaking and said, behold, the bridegroom cometh. He is not here. He cometh, and I want you to make yourself ready. Now, what makes the bride ready? Is it not the shout? The shout makes yourself ready to meet the Lord in the air, because you cannot meet him in this body. And this body cannot change without shout. This shout cannot be separate from the seven thunders, because seven thunders give rapture in faith. Right? So now, Matthew 25, therefore that voice that said, behold, the bride who cometh is the Son of Man. Amen. Matthew 25 is the Son of Man, the bridegroom call. It's a bridegroom call to tell you, the bridegroom cometh. Right? So here's the prophet now. To get together. The message comes forth first. Now, lamb trimming time. Rise, trim your lamps. What is that? Watch. What watch was that? What watch was that? The seventh, not the sixth. So that the seventh watch is equal to the midnight hour. Right? It is the midnight hour. You see, because it says at midnight, a voice went out. And he's telling you that midnight is the seventh watch. Right? He says, now, what watch was that? The seventh, not the sixth, the seventh. Behold, the bridegroom cometh, rise and trim your lamp. That's the shout. So, Matthew 25 is the seventh seal. And it is the First Thessalonian, the shout. Because the shout is the message that gets the bride ready. Get ready to who? To meet the bridegroom when he comes. This is what makes sure you have oil. Right? Now remember, behold, the bridegroom cometh is a message. Trim your lamp is the instruction from the messenger for the fivefold ministry to get your people ready. You have oil now. Is that right? Now trim your lamp, clean up the carbon so that you might be able to see. Is that right? Because you're not seeing through a glass darkly anymore. Right? So he says here, and they did. And they did. Some of them found that they didn't have any oil in their lamps. But it's lamp trimming time. What time is it? Malachi 4 time? Luke 17 is Son of Man time? So Matthew 25 is seven seal. Now you cannot tell me seven seal is not open. You cannot tell me seven thunders is not uttered. You can't tell me that the bride is just preaching and there's no rapture and faith to happen. Let me shake some of those ministers' heart. Tell your pastor if the seven seal is not open, you'll have to stop paying your tithing until it is. See how quick they start proving to you it is or isn't. You touch the belly of the priest, you get something going, and that's what we're doing. Say, but Tony, are you provoking them? Well, let me tell you this. If they don't wake up, they're at ease at Zion, everybody under them is dead. Everybody under them. The majority of ministers will not make the rapture. They will not make it. If it's one in a million, you will think all the pastors are making the member remain behind because they get it first. Is that right? Don't you think like that? They are not making it. You cannot beat your type. You cannot beat your time. Jude 1, 4, and 5. I kind of feel in my heart, you see. I need to lay this down because sometimes you feel, hey, this is everywhere. This is not everywhere. Not everybody can take this. Not everybody can believe this. They are more working against this very truth here that you are amening. If you were to take Durban and the elders here, and you bring them here, even in jealousy, they say, oh, you notice he had on a black shoe. He didn't even clean it. That would be the topic. But Tim, you know that's the truth, right? Run for your life. One day I'll meet you up, run for your life. For there are certain men crept in unaware. They have to be preachers because the church would have been aware. They were before of old ordained to what? This condemnation. Ungodly men turning the grace of God. Brother Bam said the grace of God is the gospel, which we know is the message. Into lasciviousness. It's not a waste of living for them. It's not a spiritual thing. It's a carnal thing. And denying, watch carefully in the end time, denying the only Lord God, and what is eternal life in the end time? That they'll know the only true God and Jesus Christ. You see, they're not in it. Now, 99%, except for Sandy and Brother Louis, 99%, Alistair and all of them are fighting against it. They are fighting. This is their category right here. They are denying the only Lord God because they say, no, he's one like your finger. Jesus is everything. and our Lord Jesus Christ. You think Jude was a oneness? Follow again. No, the same scripture. Thanks, brother. Follow again. This is what they denied. Father and Son. 1 John 2, 22, 23. He that denied Father and Son is Antichrist. Is that what it says? Okay. I will therefore put you in remembrance. Though he wants you to do this. After, this is the time that we are living in. In the Exodus class, they deny the Lord God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, I put you in remembrance how you once knew this. How the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt. Was that an Exodus? With a prophet, with three people? Afterwards what? How many made it? One in a how many? A million. 99%, 98% in Durban. So you really believe one in a million and the 50 churches around here are all in it? You really believe that? I mean, I have some land to sell you in Florida. If you believe that. Watch again. You say, Brother Tony, is this the Lord? Is this Elohim descending in the shout? Yes, what he says. See these things, dear brother, sister, when God in heaven, this is a rapture message. I can die on this platform right now. You just ought to walk around a while. It's tremendous. When you see God come down, the Lord himself from heaven is God. Come down. Is he the one doing the shout? Is he getting us ready for meeting the sun in the air? Who got Eve ready to meet Adam? Adam? Did Adam get Eve ready to meet Adam? God put her together. And when she was ready and put together, then he presented it to Adam. Who prepared the woman for the man? God in Genesis. Who is preparing this bride for his son? It's tremendous when you see God come down from heaven, stand before groups of men. How did he stand? The spirit. He's a spirit. How did he stand? Through the form of a prophet. Stand before groups of men. See? Stand there and declare himself. The unveiling of God. Declare himself just ever as he did. All right. Okay. Do you see the bridegroom call? You see the bridegroom call. Okay. One thing about the bridegroom call. Carefully. I have to go here for the bridegroom call. That and I need something else. Sorry, forgive me. I know I'm taking your time, but okay, let's watch. We're talking about these virgins, and I'm telling you, Matthew 25 has a mystery in it. Matthew 25, you normally will see only the shout, but there is a voice ministry under Matthew 25. The bridegroom call. If you say Matthew 25 is the call, is the message, right? That's to the living. But you see, Son of Man come for bride, and the bride is living and dead. So Revelation 10:1, when it says, I see a mighty angel come down from heaven, you only thinking about the living element. But if you notice in the seal book, the prophet said, and he cried with a loud voice as when a lion roared. He said, the king is calling his queen to stand by his side. Now the question about it, is the queen make up only of the living? Second, in Revelation 10:1, the mighty angel descends from heaven and have in his hand a little book. Why not the book in Revelation 5? Why just a little book when he cried with a loud voice? Because Revelation 10:1, in the little book, what's coming out there is only for the bride. That's why he said the rapture is only for the bride. Is that right? The rapture is only for the bride. Therefore, the little book is the lamb section of the book. If it was the book of life, everybody would have raised. But it's only the lamb section of the book. So Revelation 10:1, the lamb section of the book, those names are living and dead elements. That's why the shout is for the living, the voice is for the dead. So if the Lord Himself descends from heaven and He has a message for the living and the dead, well, the Lord Himself is also Revelation 10:1, the mighty angel. So His loud voice is for the living and the dead. And if that is for the living and the dead, well then Matthew 25, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Somebody has to make us ready. Because Luther was a Trinitarian when he died. Wesley was a Trinitarian when he died. Pentecost, some of them were oneness. Somebody's got to go beyond the grave and prepare them. Because when they come up, they're not going to be Trinitarians. Now you tell them that, I'll scare them to death. But that's okay. That just proves who they are. Follow again. So my aim is to prove that. Here's what the prophet says. These virgins, they make up just part of them in that age. See, each age has... Now, there is a mystery with the virgins. I started yesterday, didn't have the time. Watch carefully. There are seven watches. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. In the seventh watch, there are living virgins. Because in the seventh watch, they are living at that watch. But there were virgins in every church age that was watching the first watch. But you see, they went to sleep. Sleep meaning they died. So these, all of these are sleeping. But the living is only sleeping spiritually. They are not dead. Is that right? That's why Brother Bram said the voice quickens you. Spiritually quicken you, but didn't change your body yet. So the living element of the virgin that hears, behold, the bridegroom cometh, until he comes, some of us in this age might die. If we die, then we'll have to be waken up. But if we are living, we will not be waken up, we will be changed. So we don't have to be waken up from the dead, we will just be changed. That is why 1 Corinthians says, we which are alive and remain shall be changed. But there's an element of the virgin that sleep by death. Not sleep spiritually, they sleep by death. They will not be changed. You see, they have to be resurrected. Is that right? They have to be resurrected. Okay, so let's look at this. There's an element here. Now, what I'm talking about here is not foolish. I am only talking a mystery within a mystery. The sleeping virgins is the dead virgins. Is that right? But they have to be awakened. Now, who awakes the dead? When Jesus died, he cried with a loud voice. And the Bible said he went and preached to souls in prison. And Brother Bram said he came back up and preached in paradise. Did they have a ministry beyond the grave? Did the ministry start with a voice? Did he resurrect them when he rose from the dead? Well then, if that Son of Man back then is not Son of Man today, follow again. One more, let me read this quote before we go on. Rapture. And when he died, he yielded up the ghost. He screamed with a loud voice, and the Old Testament saints awoke. I can't hear you. They were the sleeping virgins of the Old Testament. They awoke. Watch the shout voice over here. He's telling you in Jesus' day, there was shout voice and trump over here. If it was over here, we know what happened here must happen here. If he was the Son of Man, and his loud voice awoke the dead virgins of the Old Testament, will not the voice under this ministry, not you and I, William Branham was used for the shout. Jesus was used for the shout. And when he died, he was used for the voice. I can't hear you. Will he not also awake the sleeping virgins? Did he not awake the living, you and I? Why would he not awake the dead? For the dead in Christ arise. For the voice of the archangel. For the voice of the resurrection. Again, the Old Testament saints, watch the shout and voice here. The same thing at his coming. He yield up the ghost, and when he did, the sacrifice was perfect. Paradise emptied out. Alright? Amen. And the old, and I plan to do this maybe for these December meetings, to take the aspect of the seventh seal that is written, but yet unseen. Can something be written and yet be unseen? I'll show you an example of things you can read. It seems like a symbol and written, and you can't see it unless you look at it right. Right? Like the quote that, you know, the short voice and trump happens before Jesus appears. You can read that all the days of your life and never catch it. Is that right? It's written, but yet unseen. Unseen for them that are not ordained to see. But for you, unto you it is given to know and to see. But to them it is not given. And they have the same books and tapes. All right. Watch them Old Testament saints now, when this rapture first takes place. The 50th verse, his loud voice awakened the Old Testament saints. Just exactly like the loud voice awakened Lazarus. The loud voice awakened. All right, gone. Let us leave that and go back to our notes. So there were virgins in every age. Some of them are sleeping. We are awake. In the seventh watch, we heard them, the bridegroom cometh. We are making ourselves ready. Right? The angel comes to the church. The angel of the church of Ephesus, right? Then get over here. And then after writing to the church Ephesus, compare that back. It seals open. He tell you all the way back in Ephesus, the seals open. Am I reading that right? Right? That's just the way we're bringing it, trying to get it all to you. See what I mean? If the Lord willing. Again. Questions are the five wise virgins, are they bride? If these wise virgins are attendants to the bride, where's the bride? Now, to the best of my understanding, there were 10 virgins, you know. And there's only a symbol or a parable I'm going to tell you. Because there are more than 10. That's just a number. Right? He said, in the midnight watch, these virgins awoke and trimmed their lamp and went in while the sleeping virgin slept. Okay, I'm going to skip because I know there's a lot to do. In the days of Paul, the angel of the church of Ephesus, Paul founded the church, being a messenger. Remember, Paul founding the church of Ephesus became the messenger of that church, to that church. The spirit in the land at that time was the lion. And the lion is the lion of the tribe of Judah, which is Christ. Christ the Word. The Word. Thousands fell asleep in that age. That's right. Then come the next, the time the church got settled down, the ox sacrificial life. Thousand times thousand fell asleep on the martyrdom. And he kept on going, right? I want to get to you here. See, each one of those ages only took a dip of the Holy Spirit, justification, the work, sanctification, the work, and baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's the reason it took a prophetic prophet to come down, no message to the age. You see, because the Holy Ghost himself came in the fullness of the baptism. But at the end of the age, as it always ends up the others, we find then the messenger sent and all these couple of things that are placed in their places, like that, then the rapture comes for the church. So, after everything that is straightened out for the ages, then a message comes to prepare the bride, then the rapture comes. Alright, continues. I'm trying to skip as much as I can. And now then, from this, the bringing this into the seven church age, God is building in his seven church ages a bride through Philadelphia, Thyatira, Pergamos, Smyrna, Ephesus, the church age. If the bridegroom come in the first watch or the seventh watch, all these virgins awaken. They will. They awoke. The virgins of Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. Did you notice that? It was the seventh age. Then when he came on a walk of these sleeping virgins, that bring them all the way back down to here. He's tying Matthew 25 with virgin, not just living, but all the way. So there must be in Behold the Bride Who Cometh a voice that goes beyond the living to the dead to wake them up. So is Matthew 25 connected to 1 Thessalonians, the salt and the voice? Well, then that brings them way back down here, see? For this, through the years, ages, has to be built a bride, born a bride, begotten a bride for Christ. And the same way he begets his bride, he gets the individual. Now, just bear with me a minute. I'm trying to bring you up that I'm not saying this on my own. This is the seals are open now. Let's see what the prophet says. Then Jesus said, a virgin went to meet Christ. Some of them fell asleep. The first watch, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, or seventh watch. But in the seventh watch, then came forth the sound. Behold, the bridegroom cometh, going to meet him. And the ones that were sleeping, we were not sleeping, awakened. All the age back to Pentecost woke up. See, from the seventh age, the seven churches, all the way back through woke up. And these were in this church age. Watch it. And these who were in this church age, see, we were not dead. We who are in this church age, a living, were changed. They were resurrected. We were changed. So is Behold the Bridegroom Cometh the shout and voice? Right? And when the Lord cometh, so I want to get you three things that happen. When he said, Behold the Bridegroom Cometh, trim your lamp, is the fivefold ministry must produce rapture and faith with a message and oil that he brings. Behold, the bridegroom cometh doesn't mean the bridegroom came. The bridegroom coming is the coming of the Lord in the air. You know, dimension, whatever you want to call it. In the air. So this picks up the appearing of the Lord, where the man who is speaking is appearing to bring a message to make you ready. That's the appearing, preparing you for the coming, the bridegroom cometh. Alright? Now, again, you say, Brother Tony, can that be true? 64, seals are already open. And now, if you notice your dollar bill here, the great headstone, I, the great seal, and all those stones. Now, what is he talking about? The body being made up, like the pyramid. You see? I'm going to skip some of that. Okay. And Jesus cannot come. Notice right here. Right there. And Jesus cannot come until a church, a body of believers, and the ministry he once had. What ministry did he have? Threefold, Son of Man, short voice and trump? Jesus cannot come until a ministry. Well, what ministry is on the earth? Son of Man, threefold. But he cannot come in the air. He cannot. There's a Jesus that cannot come. Until his ministry is reproduced on the earth. Jesus cannot come until a church, a body of believers, and the ministry he wants will have to be the same as it was then. Well, then they had short voice and trump. Right? Then the Son of Man went and preached beyond the grave. Right? Will have to be the same as it was then too. And then that brings without us. Them without us is not made perfect. Are they dependent on our ministry here? Are they dependent on the pillar of fire ministry in the south? They are depending because when that ministry comes, it could only go beyond the grave. So listen, they die looking for this ministry. Amen. They die looking for this ministry, but they didn't live to see it because that's the watch. Follow again now. Them without us is not made perfect. Paul said, Hebrews 11, without us they cannot be perfected. What do they need? Then they must have this ministry to rise up the Lutherans. They must have what? This, not you and I. You know, there's a foolish teaching that says the shout is the message, the word, and the voice is a recycle of the shout in the bride, and the bride will call the sleeping saints. Right? Well, I tell you, if we depend on us to call the sleeping saints, they will sleep forever. You know that foolish teaching. The second teaching is, while we are preaching, they are listening in and being perfected. Huh. You talk about some dummy preachers. Can make up something that doesn't even have a shadow in the Bible to stand. You know, not even a leg to stand on. It's a disgrace to call themselves bride. Without us, they cannot be perfected. They must have this ministry to rise, the Lutheran, the Wesleyan, and all of them through the ages. Who's all of them? Is that not the virgins? And under this ministry, a salt voice and trump? Is that seventh seal, friends? Is the seventh seal connected to the dead? Is the seven thunders connected to the dead? Not just the living. Again, continues the quote. Then that come, when that come, when what? That ministry come. When that come, when that ministry come, when that part where the eagles are guarded, what part? These are eagles, he calling them. When that part of where the eagles are guarded, that is beyond the grave, that is beyond the, under the altar, they are guarded. Somebody's going to have to guard them and resurrect them. When that comes, that part of the eagles there, just as the carcass is, the eagles will be guarded. The question. Then all those virgins that have slept through the age, they all arose, you see. Now, that is on the seventh watch, the seventh age, the last, the end time, the Laodicean at the end, when this just a little group of them went in. But it brings all the resurrection of those who died in their age, living to the word that was ordained of God and preached to happen in that day. And we went through the church ages and so on and so forth. I'm going to skip. I'm just going to get the ones that we need. Souls in prison. Well, I better not. It'll just take us in another direction. I just want to finish off with some things that thus saith the Lord. Two scriptures of the seventh seal. Here now. Okay, watch now. The Old Testament saints has gone into paradise. Too small. Too much. Can I read from here until it comes back? There you go. It went back to the beginning. The Old Testament saints has gone into paradise, done away. And the Old Testament saints ascended at his loud voice. Is the loud voice a ministry? It's not just a loud voice. It's a ministry that went beyond the grave and woke them up. Behold, the bridegroom cometh, goes beyond the grave to get them ready. Because they're looking for the coming of the Lord too. Then it says here, when he screamed and gave up the ghost, why? The sacrifice for sins that they waited on. Now they were waiting, right? Now watch. What were they waiting? Now he's going to show you Old Testament waiting, New Testament waiting. Israel knew something was coming. Israel knew something was coming. You say, Israel who? Israel, what Israel? What did they know was coming? That's dead Israel. They that were in the grave. They knew something was coming. Said the Luther knew it. So that Wesley knew it. They know that that was the coming of the Lord. They are all dead. They knew one day somebody was going to come and perfect them. I read the quote before. They were looking for that sacrifice to perfect them. He said, Israel knew something was coming. So did Luther know it. So did Wesley know it. So did Knox, Finney, Calvin know it. This is it. They knew there would come a time when the pillar of fire. Is the pillar of fire coming to bring the Son of Man ministry? Short voice and trunk. Is that right? They knew that the seventh watch will come. They knew, behold, the bridegroom come. It will come. Right? So, the pillar of fire will return back to the church. They know there will come a time that these things would happen. What these things? Under the Son of Man. But they didn't live to see it. Now, what's the key word? They looked forward to it. Now, God is not going to disappoint them. What they look for, that is what they're going to see. Job looked and he saw his Redeemer. But in reality, met him one day. Right? They looked for it. I have looked for it. I have seen thee. You see, I've heard of thee with the hearing of my ear, but now my eyes see thee. Watch again now. Oh, on Easter morning, when he rose yonder, and Job's body no more than a spoonful of ashes, he was waking. What is the sleeping saints doing? They are waiting. They are looking for this ministry. They are looking for this ministry. Hear what he goes on to say. He rose from the grave. No, he was waiting. He was the elected group. He rose from the grave and entered into the city with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Job. Amen. Amen. For they looked for such a person. And to those who look for Christ the second time. Watch carefully. That's Hebrews 9:28. So Hebrews 9:28 is the voice resurrection ministry. It's the voice going, they that look for him, the voice is going to pick up. And they who are alive during that time, the shout is going to pick up. They that look for him, we are looking for him, but we deny. Our expectation is alive. But they died. They died in the watches. But he is going to pick them up on behold the bridegroom cometh. Because that's the virgin. That's all the virgins are woke. Right? Watch again. And those that look for him, look for Christ the second time. Who looked for him the first time? Israel looked for him. Amen. And they who he looked for went beyond the grave and cried with a loud voice and brought them out of the grave. Now that he said, they that look for him the second time. Who's looking for him the second time? All these virgins that fell asleep was watching for him, but they fell asleep. And they that look for him, even though they die, they will see him again the second time. Beyond the grave. That can overcome, see? The trump of God shall sound. Now again. Now he's interpreting. Watch Brother Bram interpret. Matthew 27 says that many of the bodies of the saints have slept in the dust. That's the virgins of the Old Testament. Arose and came out of the city and appeared unto many of the city. I can see Sarah, Abraham coming down the street. They had glorified bodies. They appeared back on earth. Hallelujah. For a first fruit of the proof of God's power and resurrection. Right? Of God's proof and resurrection. There was. Okay. Alright, I'm gonna skip. I've got one more thing to do. And I will make it short. Go back to Louise meetings. Louise. I have tied. And you're beginning, you will tie as you begin to look at these scriptures. I've tied Revelation 8 and 1. I showed you it's equal to Revelation 10 and 1. That's the seventh seal. I said the descent of the mighty angel is the same as the descent of the Lord himself. The loud voice and the thunders equal shout. Voice, because they are ministries to gather the bride, the living and the dead. Right? I showed you that makes the bride ready. Right? And the opening of those thunders, the revealing of those thunders, we had truth that was revealed that was lost. So that's 1 John 16:13, where it says, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he comes in the form of Son of Man. He will lead you and guide you into. You can't have all truth unless he can guide you into the thunders. So 16:13 is the seventh seal. Right? Then we took Revelation 4 and showed you the rapture happens in the fourth chapter. Because in the fourth chapter, Revelation 10 and 1 and 1 Thessalonians tells us who's coming down and what they do. But Revelation 4 tells us who's going up. John, the bride. Right? So that's rapture. We have Matthew 25. That we place with all the dead going all the way back plus the living. Now we are going to add this. What was under that seventh seal that was so peculiar? The one with the swept back wings. Amen. Is it becoming clearer? Let me see. Is it under here? I try to cut some of them short. I think I can make it. I think I can use it. Okay, yeah. All right. The breach. the trumpet of God shall sound, the last trump will blast forth. The same time that the angel giving his message. Watch careful. The trump of God will sound at the same time the angel giving his message. Right? And the last seal is opened. The last trump will sound. The last seal open is tied with the last trump. Notice that. And the Redeemer comes forth to take his possession. I want you to watch two things. Don't ever get these mixed up. The day you get them mixed up, the preachers are going to tell you the Lamb got off the mercy seat and mercy is over. Right? Anybody ever taught you that? I know Brother Louis didn't teach you that. But those others, did they teach you that? Be honest. Didn't they teach you when the Lamb got off the mercy seat? Brother Henry, didn't they teach you that? When the Lamb got off the mercy seat, what? Mercy is over. I guess mercy for them is over because they're teaching kind of stuff like that. When the Lamb got off the mercy seat, he only makes a legal claim. By taking the book, he makes a legal claim. He takes the book, he opens the book, he gives it back to the original owner because the original owner is the one who comes down with the book. He does not claim us yet because we are still here. That's just a legal claim. Now the Holy Spirit comes down and is gathering the living and dead who is in that book. Now when we meet him in the air, when we are ready to meet him in the air, then the Lamb comes and makes his claim. That is his possession. Now he has his claim. During the legal claim, mercy is still there because the prophet said the Lamb broke the seal and climbed back on the throne. Those in prison, who do you say this is? He said the Lamb broke the seal and climbed back on the throne. So you see, mercy is over for them. You have to really pray for them. Watch again now. I want you to watch this very carefully. Jesus, when he come, that's in the air. Jesus, when he comes, has to be a prophet. That's right. And today, before Jesus comes again, how many Jesus there? Jesus, when he comes, he has to be a prophet. That's right. He has to be a prophet. That's right. And today, before Jesus comes again, the full manifestation of the person of Jesus is to be manifest in flesh. How many is there? You think you can read the message without knowing Godhead? You cannot. It is only for the bride. Think of it. Think of it. As it was in the days of Sodom, so shall be in the coming of the Son of Man. When the Son of Man is being revealed, so therefore, Son of Man being revealed is those thunders, unfolded, made known, the secret had been brought forth, revealed. The secret has been brought forth, revealed. Now, I want you to watch this. Why did Brother Branham, you notice this? Why did he not? He did the church ages. Why did he not put his name under the seventh star? Now, my key is here, is the quote that he said, the rest of the seal meant a whole lot to me, but you don't know what this seventh seal has meant to me. He said, after the Phoenix meeting, I lay myself. Remember that? He said that angel, the one with the swept back wind, the one with the seventh seal, the one more peculiar to me. Why was he making those statements? That's my point. That's where I'm trying to get you to focus on the high point of the coming of the Lord, how it's connected with that prophet and his mind. So the coming of Jesus, the coming of the Son of God, or the Lord, the coming of the Lord, as most of people will know it, that is connected to Brother Bill. Because he's taking this thing personally. You don't know what that has meant to me. All the other seals meant a lot to me, but you don't know what the seventh seal has meant to me. Is he connecting himself personally to that seventh seal, to that seventh angel, the one with the swept back wings? Why? Watch carefully now. I want to ask you a question. Did Brother Branham preach the church ages and drew out all of the moon phases? Did he put stars under there? Did he put names under there? So when he come to the seventh star, did he put a name? Why? Why didn't he put a name? He did not put a name because he was not sure. You don't put the name of an evangelist there. Do you? He was not sure about his ministry. Now everybody say he knew everything, right? He said, but he quoted it long enough. Brother Branham was a wise man. He quoted it and said it was him. He said, to bring to pass in the evening time there shall be light. He didn't say anything about himself. He just keep quoting the scriptures. And we make the association with him. In our mind, we make the association. When you are reading it, because you read it from up here. But while he was doing it, he didn't tie himself to it. Because God never told him that. Now watch. He never put his name under that seventh star. Let's see why. He doesn't know, but then all of a sudden something happens. Hear what he says. I ask. Well, that's supposed to be this is why he never put his name under the seventh star in the church age star. Taken side with Jesus, 1962, he is not sure if it is him to continue to the office of a prophet. Or if someone else will appear. He doesn't know if he's Malachi 4. Because in spoken word or original seed, he says this. God has promised, be careful, God has promised Malachi 4 for this last day. That's the seventh watch. Malachi 4 has not yet been fulfilled. Then 1962. Malachi 4 has not been fulfilled. It must be fulfilled. For it's a germatized word of God spoken through Malachi the prophet. Jesus referred to it. It must be, watch carefully, it must be just before the coming of the law, coming of Christ the second time. He is connecting it with the coming of the Lord, which is the secret of the seventh seal. And no one knows about that. But this is connected with that. Watch again. He says, continues now. He said, the thing I wondered about all my life. Alright? Question, why did not the prophet place his name as the seventh angel in the church age chart? Why did he not identify the seventh star messenger, which is to be Elijah? Why didn't he do it? Let's take it now. Because if you don't follow, get in the spirit of following that prophet, you are going to miss all that is connected with that seventh seal. Because his life is part of that seal. That's why he ties himself with it. Right? Seventh seal cannot be disconnected from him. Watch carefully. Just like Son of Man cannot be disconnected from Jesus the Son. Take a side with Jesus. 62. Now watch. Now what would I think? Now, what I would think would be this, brethren, like that like in the church here, I recommend every minister, take the message, take insights with Jesus, go through word by word, line by line. Because it tells you what's in the prophet's state of mind before all of these things unfolded. Watch carefully. Now, what I would think would be this, brethren, that like in the church here now, my ministry has the best of my thinking. Four things that can be done. Can you imagine that? Said, for the best of my thinking, my ministry, there's only four options I have. And it might not be either four, but that's the only outlook I can think of. If that one that spoke to me down here on the river, if this is all that was left for the Gentile church, he is thinking about the prophecy of 1933. As John the Baptist forerun the first coming of Christ, your message will forerun the second. Is he connected again? Now, the problem is he does not know that the things he preached from 1946 to 1962, he's 62, he's doing that now. He don't know if that was his message. He don't know if that was his message. It's only after the seals broke, he said, not in the days of the preparation, but in the days of the void. Now something is happening. He now realized that wasn't his message. Hear what he says. He said, if that one that spoke to me down on the river, if this is all that was left for the Gentile church, you mean after I preached from 46 to 62 now, this is all. Well, then the next thing left is the coming of the Lord there. So here, listen, that would have left out seven thunders, Revelation 10, one the mighty angel descending, 1 Thessalonians, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven. All of that, way, what was his thinking? So it means that that's the end of me, maybe somebody else coming. Right? So he doesn't know. He doesn't know. Just like when you read those seal, that seal book, you have to understand, he does not know. He's beginning to say things, but he does not know fully. But if you follow him in a state of mind, follow. Continues, Brother Bill, not sure if the 1933 prophecy is fulfilled or not. He wondered about it all his life. Here. Now, what I think down here, if that angel that said those words to me said, as John the Baptist was sent to forerun the first coming of Christ, see your message. I was to take this message. He's thinking that was the message he had. It was forerun the second coming. Well, if this has been it, the 62 now, if this has been it, then we are real close, brethren, because the hour and the light of the message is just about gone out. Because his letters become that small. Right? They say, Brother Branham, you're washed up. Is that right? The doors are closed. So he said, well, if that's the message, well, then his next thing is just the coming of the Lord, because the message to prepare the bride is already being given through me. Does he know it? No. You ask any minister, they will tell you. He just went right in because he knew who he was. He did not. He left that star out purposely because God never told him. If God revealed to put his name there, he would have put it. God did not reveal to put his name there. It's not his choice what to put on the chart. It's God's choice what goes on the chart. Right? Here goes on again now. He said, well, the message is just about gone out. No, the prophet is at a junction of time, not knowing what is to happen. Next has Malachi 4 ready to come. He says now, 59th paragraph. Now, if that is the message, and God forgive me, I do not know. If that's it, then the time is close at hand, really, because the message is over. If this is what Malachi was supposed to do, if it isn't a message that your message to overrun the second coming, and if from 46 to 63, that's my message, it's over. He said, don't know what it meant, but I was going on. I just don't know. Could it be the end of my road? Could it be the coming of the Lord? Because after my message, he said, it will forerun the second coming. So the Lord is coming. Is it the end of my road? Somebody is going to move on. It could be the change of the day. It could be the coming of the mighty one. If there is to be another besides what's already come. In other words, a mighty one will be Elijah. In other words, a man will rise up and Elijah will rise up. And I will have to decrease. Because two of us will not be here at the same time. He does not know if there is to be another besides that was already come. It could be that. All of those things we'd have to draw from, it would be. And hear what he says now. Watch his language. And as I stand here tonight before God and you brethren, I don't know. I couldn't tell you. If I did, I'll tell you. Or I wouldn't mention. Bring anything up like this. If I didn't know which way. If I know which way the thing was going, I'd say it, but I don't know. I can't tell. I'm going right now on meetings without one speck of leading. Again. There's three things. The same message continue. This is paragraph 62, verse 59. He said, there's three things could happen to me. It's either the end of my road, and let this other one come on. That's the Malachi 4. Because he said it wasn't fulfilled in the same year, 62. He said, come on, I've opened up the road for him to take over. Because remember, the one that comes to preach will be on the word, restoring the faith of the children back. He doesn't know he's Malachi 4. He doesn't know he's the one to restore the faith. It could be the end of my road. If it could be that he's changing my ministry back to evangelism to go overseas, I go back to evangelism, Malachi 4 comes on the earth. He doesn't know. Or it could be that he is going to call me, it could be he's not going to call me anymore for an evangelist, and he's taken me into the wilderness somewhere to anoint me, to send me forth like the promised one is to come. In other words, it might be that he's calling me to be Malachi for now. It could be any of those. Note, he leaves the possibility that he's Elijah to come. But he's not sure. Do you think he could put his name up here? Because he drew this in 1960. Is that right? This 62. You think he knew to put his name there? He didn't. That is why people who see Brother Bam didn't put his name there, they said he wasn't the seventh angel. Follow again. Now, we find out that corruption, that's in the seventh age, but the seventh seal doesn't reveal anything that's going to happen to it. See? Why the seventh seal was silent? Because at the end of the church age is to come a prophetic gift to reveal these things. So, who's going to tell you what's happening under the silence? A prophet will be on the scene. Now, he doesn't know that, but now he's saying that. You understand? This is questions and answers on the seal before he preached the seventh seal. So now he's telling you there's a prophet in the land to tell you these things. Seventh seal now. Here it is. The one with the seventh seal. The thing I've wanted all my life. Them other seals meant a whole lot to me, of course. But oh, you don't know what this has meant. Now let's see what this has meant. You see, he did not know he was Malachi 4. But that seal now holds his message. It holds his commission. It holds what he was looking for all his life. Well, what was he looking for all his life? He's looking for what happened in 1933 to be fulfilled. Your message shall forerun the second coming. And his message was not from 1946 to 63. That was only the preparation. That was church age message. His message is the bride's message. So what is his message? Wouldn't we want to know what the message is? Now, here's what he's... before I preach say it, I'm going to set it up for you. I'll give it to you, in fact. He said, a thing I've wondered all my life. What was he wondering about? He was wondering about his message and the coming of the Lord. Your message shall crown the second coming. Now he's realizing from 1946 to 63, that wasn't his message. That was the preparation for the voice behind the sign. Right? So what is the prophet message? The prophet message is the message of a forerunner, the second coming is the shout. The message of a forerunner, the second coming is the shout of 1 Thessalonians. It is the loud voice or the thunders of Revelation 10:1. And 1 Thessalonians is the shout, the bride message. Is the prophet bringing it? Well, then that's his message. From 1933, it was not fulfilled until it starts in 1963 under the seventh seal. Now he is connected with his message. So his message is the last message before the coming of the Lord. Is that right? Now let's put all of this piece together here. If his message is the shout, it means the Lord himself be sent to him. And the shout is coming from his mouth. So he must be Son of Man. Which means that the Son of Man is God in the form of a prophet. Before the second coming of the Lord. Isn't that right? So that was the appearing of God in the form of a prophet. I know, you're tired. Let me finish it off. You say, Brother Tony, does he know it? This is the first time Brother Branham is going to say these words. The seals have been opened. This is a couple months later. This is the first time he calls himself Malachi 4. Hear what he says. Once more, O Lord, There's a little woman sitting here. She's in trouble. She's suffering with a stomach trouble. She had an operation for cancer. The cancer was on the breast. They removed the cancer. Little lady, yes, sister, that's right. Now you'll know, I don't know you, but do you believe me to be his prophet? I'll say it plainly tonight. I'm leaving. Congregation rejoices because they know he told them he wasn't sure. But now they know. Do you believe me? Amen. Do you believe that we have promised in the last days, Malachi 4? I can't hear you. See, now he's stepping in confidence. He knows who he is. Right? So you cannot separate the salt from Malachi 4. You cannot separate the salt from William Branham. You cannot separate the descent of the Lord himself from this man. Is that seventh seal? Again. Watch. We now know where the Lord descended. We now know where the Lord shout. And we now know where the thunders are going to come from. Whose mouth is going to come from. Right? And we know that that's the message before. Your message shall forerun the second coming. We know who descended. It was not the Son of God. It was not that Jesus. Again. There's a little one. Okay. Go on. Let's pick it up quickly. This is the scripture fulfilled now. This is coming to the end of his ministry now. He's going to tell you. When I was baptized in my 17th person under the witness, and you know the rest of the story, and when I was standing there baptized in a 17th person, a light come down from heaven, shining down over there, like a star falling from heaven. A voice said, as John the Baptist was sent to forerun the first coming of Christ, your message. What is his message? The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. The mighty angel descend. Him cry with a loud voice. Seven thunder. That's his message. You see? Your message shall forerun the what? Isn't his message going to give you rapture and faith? Isn't his message, is your rapture change your body? Isn't your body change is going to meet the Lord in the air? Well, then his message did not come until the, what seven? Not sixth seal, not the fifth seal, not the fourth seal. The seventh seal. The seventh seal. So now, when you take all that they say, those ministers say, about the seven thunders, is one seal, white horse, red horse, black horse. Is that true? No. Is the seven, they quoted the prophet. He said he didn't know. And in the breach message, he says, the seven angels with the seven thunders. Did the seven angels have the seven thunders? Or was it the seventh angel? The one that had his message. Isn't his message the seven thunders? Isn't the thunders going to give you rapture and faith? Well, them other angels, we don't need them to talk to us. They were just to tie up the loose ends. Again, watch what he ends up saying. He says, your message shall run the second coming to all the world. This day, this scripture is fulfilled. Amen? From not knowing to confessing that he is, to tell you it is fulfilled. Right? So if it is fulfilled, his message has come. Right? The third pull. Now watch what he ties. The third pull is the message of the hour. Now let's say, Brother Tony, watch carefully. The third pull is the message of the hour. What's the attraction on a mountain? He said, I've got my mind set on this message. That's the third pull. So if his message is the shout, if his message is the seven thunders, then the shout and the seven thunders is the third pull. And that is why he said it's a secret, because the Lord told him the third pull would be a secret because you were talking too much. And that is why God didn't give it to him, it unfolded to him. Because the first two pull, he talked and created impersonations. So he said in the seventh seal, no one knows about it. He said, Satan will not be able to impersonate this. Why wouldn't he be able to impersonate it? Because the prophet is not, he's not telling the prophet everything. He's unfolding it as he goes. Alright? Seventh seal again. Hear what he says. I'd better stop here. Notice now, this is the seventh seal. Now, this is the third pull. So what is the seven thunders? It's the third pull of the Son of Man. What is the shout? It's the third pull of the Son of Man. What's the first two pull? The two signs. What's the two signs? Is the preparation for the voice. When did the seventh seal open? In part 1946. In fulfillment, 1963, the word part. Watch again now. I'd better stop here. I feel checked to say no more. See, So just remember the seventh seal, the reason it was not open. Watch carefully. Then he tell you it was open. See, the reason it did not reveal it. Not that it was not opened by the Lamb. It was opened by the Lamb, but it was not revealed to him. The one, no one should know about it. And I want you to know, before I ever know anything about that, the vision come years ago. When did the vision come? 1956, the 10th vision, which is the third pull. He's tying it. He said, the vision come years ago. What did the vision say? No one should know about this. No one will know about this. Hear what he says. He said, I want you to know before I ever know it, one word about that. What that? The seventh seal. He said, the vision come years ago. You remember that? And here is just as the other. Just as this other has. Slides right straight into the word exactly. The third pull slides straight into the word where it was. God knows my heart. I never one time thought of such a thing as that. And here it was. It's later than we think. Why later than we think? Then that's my message. If that's my message, it's the coming of the Lord now. Oh my, just shows it's from God. It fits exactly. The third pull, 10th vision, fits exactly with the seventh seal. Because the third pull is the opening of the word. He said, I must be loyal to this third pull, this message. Right? Now notice now. Notice now for the end time message. Well, if it's an end time message, this seal, what seal has the message? The sixth seal? The fifth seal? The fourth seal? Well, then why do they tell me that the thunders is the first seal, second seal, third seal? Hear what he says. Is the message the thunders? Is the message the shout? Well, then what he said. And notice now, for the end time message, this seal. What is the end time message? His message. What seal is under? This seal. Not those seals. This seal. And after all, he revealed all six. But he didn't say nothing about the seventh. And the end time seal. Which is the seventh seal. When it starts, it will start. Because the Lamb opened it. And that's his message. He saw it under there. The one with the swept back wings. The one that are more peculiar to me. Hear what he says. Absolutely. He says, an end time seal would be absolutely a total secret according to the Bible. Well, how does he know it's going to be a total secret? Because the Lord already told him that first two pull, you cause impersonation. This will be no impersonation. Why? I'm going to unfold it. I'm not going to reveal it, bam, bam, bam. I'm going to unfold it to you. Before knowing, remember Revelation 10, 1, the 7, the end. At the end of the seventh angel message, all the mystery of God will be known. We're at the end time, the opening of the seventh seal. When will it be, Brother Branham? Now, I'm going to close it up. One of the mysteries of that seal, the reason it wasn't revealed, it was those thunders that were uttered. Well, those thunders became a message. That was his ministry. And there it is perfectly, because no one knew anything about it. It was, and so on. Let me close by saying this. The opening of the first six seals ties up the loose ends and the lost things. And it brings the faith that was once delivered to the saints. It is the wisdom of God that the church had. We come back to the wisdom of God that the church had. But this seventh seal, no light has shone upon it. This seventh seal is the hidden wisdom. Like marriage and divorce, true justification, true sanctification, what the real purpose of God is. Now, you'll just give me a minute and you will see what I mean. This hidden wisdom, this seventh seal, he said it unfolded. Well, 3 months later, Brother Branham is preaching Christ, the mystery of God revealed, and I'm going to take his words for it. His scripture he uses, Colossians 1:27 and 1 Corinthians 2:6. What is 2:6? He said, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom. Even the what? Even the what? Under the seal is the what? The hidden wisdom, which God ordained to his glory. Now, what is this? He said the seventh seal was a mystery, no light had shone upon it. Then he comes 3 months later and he said, I want to tell you a secret that has not been revealed. He said, I want to tell you a secret that God had in the back part of his mind that he has never revealed. He said, I spoke of it in part, but not fully revealed. Christ, the mystery of God, he's saying this. He said, I want to tell you a secret. that God had in the back part of his mind, a threefold purpose he had in his mind. He's now telling you that. He said the first part of that threefold mystery. He said, I want to show you how God was in Christ. Second fold mystery. Christ in the bride. Threefold mystery, the restoration of the kingdom. Now you say, Brother Tony, what is the great mystery of that? If you notice, God in Christ is Godhead. How God and Christ is one, but not like your finger is one. How God become your kinsman redeemer by sharing his own DNA with the human species. The real Lamb is not the Son of God. The real Lamb is God. Because the Son of God come to reveal God. And God is the Lamb then. The real dove is not those doves you see flying out there. The real dove is God. God is always the first. Everything created is to reveal himself in. So the real Lamb and the real dove is God. The real kinsman redeemer. Right? So now, in the message of the hour, they say they know a lot about the message. They might know a lot of information. But if they don't know the first purpose, if it's not revealed to them, like we were seeing today, then you know, that is why, full as the purpose was revealed, he said, who do you say this is? Who is this Melchizedek? Amen. The unrecognized presence of God, the mighty God unveiled. Who is this? What is it? He's revealing himself. How he was in Christ, how he is in the church, right? The second full purpose. God himself dwelling in the human heart, and yet he could only be one place at one time. The greater living in you. Second full mystery. Third mystery, the kingdom, which I can't go into. Now, what I'm going to tell you is this. Every message, Brother Henry, every message in your that Brother Branham ever preached will fit one out of these three. If this is the whole purpose of God, every message in the Bible will have to fit one of these. What was God in Christ for? Redemption. What was God in Christ for? Reconciliation. What is God in Christ for? So that he can become tangible. That he can be first of the species. In Jesus is two things. In Jesus is God first. He is the first of the beginning of a new creation. And in Jesus' body himself is the firstborn son. And Christ in you. How is Christ in you? The mystery of the marriage. The mystery of the union. The mystery of sonship, because he is the firstborn son and we are conformed to his image. Every message you ever could think of the prophet will fall in one of these three categories. Now you can find a message and you can begin to frame your thoughts. Frame your thinking. It's not some scattered out there, friends. It's a divine order. Can you put up Ephesians 1:13 for me, please? 1:17. Ephesians 1:17. I close this down to make my people feel happy. I hope it makes you happy. Watch carefully. This is the threefold purpose in a nutshell. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him and his purpose. That he had the back part of his mind. He said, well, that's a simple purpose. You just try to find out how God in Christ was one yet not like your finger. And see where it will drive you crazy. Watch again. The eyes of your understanding be enlightened by what? Things that had not been revealed before. The hidden things. That ye may know what is the hope of his calling. What does he want to achieve? And what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance? And what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who first believe according to the working of his mighty power? What power? Not what he had in the church ages. Not what he had in the early church. Not the power in the early church. Not the power in the church ages. But this power. Which he wrought in Christ. Was Christ Son of Man? Which he wrought in Christ. Was Christ the Son of God? When he raised him from the dead. And set him at his own right hand. Is that coming to lordship? Well, this is what is going to happen to you. He's going to raise us from the dead. Set us on thrones. And make us Lord and Christ of the earth. Far above principalities, power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but the world to come. He's going to put your enemies to come and worship at your feet. He's going to give you thrones, amen, might and dominion, all right? And had put all things under his feet. Well, if he put all things under his feet, he put all things under the bride's feet too, because the lamb and the bride is inseparable now. They are not high and low. They are co-equal like Adam and Eve before the fall. You're going to be co-equal with the lamb. When you say the lamb on the throne, it's because you're on the throne. You have to read yourself now. And give him to be the what? Head over the church. We are going to be the head of them outside of the city. And this head is going to become, this head is going to come at the end of the age, 1 Corinthians 15:24, where the God is going to be all in all, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all and all. We are the end time. The message has been delivered. We are looking for the coming of the Lord. God bless you. God keep you. Cause his face to shine upon you. Give you much grace. Thank you, Brother Louis.
God bless you, brothers and sisters. We appreciate the Lord. Let's give the Lord a hand. Our musicians will come along. We thank God for such a ministry. Amen. A ministry that reminds us of who we are and telling us the threefold purpose. The whole of the world is wondering what the seventh seal, what the seven thunders are. But we thank God that God could come and give to us the hidden wisdom. Amen. So we appreciate Pastor Tony. The sacrifice is made, and we do understand that it's quite a vast subject. You know, sometimes you might say, but there's so much to feed on, so much to chew on, so much to draw in. But that's what it's all about. It's an ever unfolding of that same God. So if your Godhead is wrong, everything else is wrong. So that is why you find he says you must have your Godhead correct, because that's your first base. Because if you don't have that correct, you find your fearing and your coming is wrong. You find who is yea is wrong. You don't even know whether it's Jesus, the Son, is talking. You don't know if it's the Father that's talking. And as a result of that, you'd find when you come to the seventh seal, you don't know who has come down. The Lord himself shall descend with a shout. Because if they do not understand God and his Son, they can't bring him down, because they're thinking that if he comes down, the rapture is over. But they don't know it's the Father who comes down. And the Son is still on the throne. So it's a completely different gospel, brothers and sisters. And that is why you'd find the third pull is not for the public. Amen. It's for the bride. And we thank God for you. We appreciate you coming together and amidst the terrible weathers and the traffic, the accidents, that you could able to come here and enjoy the fellowship. The Lord richly bless you and undertake for you. I know some of you are looking for it to be on the streaming. We're not uploading it, because this is not to be circulated as such. Because what happens, once people get a hold of it, they want to circulate it and pretend like they know God it, and they want to deceive other people as well with it. So don't expect it to be up. I've given instructions to the brothers as well. This won't be released, not even the DVDs, until they discuss with me. Okay, the Lord richly bless you. Let's all rise to our feet. Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer as Brother Terence will come with the dismissal song. Let us pray. Father, we are grateful unto you tonight for such a gift, a ministry, that Lord, that could gather, Lord, those fine dots and connect it to God, that we could have a better and clearer picture. We ask of you to be gracious, to bless your servant, our dear Pastor Tony. Father, thou knowest the journey ahead of him, Father, the mission field that awaits him in East Africa. We pray, O God, that you'll watch over him and renew his energy, O God, that your angels will encamp around him. Lord, even the field that lays ahead of him, Father, we pray for those that will hear that ministry, Father, that the elect will recognize, O God, the hour that we're living in. Thank you, Lord, for the families of God that could come together. We ask of you to give them grace and strength, O God, even as they set you, Lord, to listen to your precious word. Grant them safe traveling mercies. Lord, indeed, it was good to sit, Lord, listen to your precious word. We ask of you to bless us now, and we give you glory and ask this in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.